జయం విశుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య స్తోత్ర సదశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ శరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శైల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నిత్యలీల ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందకోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధా కుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునామాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనందే. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిది నామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశకారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధి, కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాత్. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా, నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్సవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్ దేవేశ నాదస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం, ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనత్తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరదశ్చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాట్, తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదాయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యందియల్ సూరయ. తేజో వారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష, ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తపుహగం సత్యం వరం ధీమహి. ధర్మప్రోజ్యతగైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మల్సరాణాం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్రకృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణాల్ నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుగముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పిపద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసియాముహి భావుకాహం. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తావత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమ. యం ప్రవ్రజంతమనుభేదమపేతకృత్యం ద్వైభాయ నో విరహకాదరమాజ్జుహావ, పుత్రేదిదన్మైదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారమేగం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితిదీర్షదం తమోంధం, సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం, దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణుకునిదాదృదానందోః మమోవాచి విశృంభదా మురారే మధురీం నకణికాభికాభికాభి. నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిది నామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ Yasam Harigadodgidam Punadi Bhuvanatrayam Gobi Charanaravinda Paramanave Nama Pidambaram Dharavirajita Shankajakram Kaumodagi Sarasijam Karuna Samudram Radha Sahayam Adisundaram Andahasam Vadalaya Shamanisham Kadibhavayami Omalam Kujayan Venam Shamaloyam Kumaraga Vedavedibaram Brahma Vasadam Puradomama Mukam Karodi Vajalam Pangam Lankayade Girim Yalkrubatamaham Mande Paramananda Madhavam Shri Krishna Ayanama Shri Madhiratiya Ayanama Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangirtanam Govinda Govinda Basically, Krishna is saying to Uddhava a lot of things related to spiritual life here in this chapter. Spiritual life is always a mystery. It's not that something what we think it is. Quite often you will find this. Krishna has spoken a lot of things in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Ekadasha Skandam, which is the main teachings Krishna has given to this world. And if you read through that, you will notice that the important principle Krishna is trying to drive everyone is to make us aware that the freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, and basically to get this understanding that we are spiritual entities, not material entities. We are spiritual entities, right? So, as he said last time in the 48th verse, Almana Pitraputra Bhyam Anumeyo Bhavapeyo Nava Bhavapeyo Vastuna Abhitnya Adhoya Lakshana. That Alma has no birth or death, it always exists, right? And body is concerned, it's coming from Maya. Maya has given us this body, and the body is continuously changing, and eventually the body goes. So, to see it in a particular way, that what is our connection with this body, and the changes that's happening into the body, does that affect me? All these questions Krishna has answered here. You see, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is like this. There are lot of things Krishna has spoken there. And you may wonder, or if when you read Bhagavad Gita, immediately you get this impression that, is it possible for me to do all these things in life? We have a very short span of life, first of all. And in that, major part of it has gone for maintenance of the body and the bodily needs, like family life, work, things like that. Whatever little time is left in life, with that short space of time, to understand everything what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Bhagavadam, and to fully translate into one's own life, to practice it, and to make that happen, is very difficult. It is not easy. So, one thing we have to know that because we are all starting our spiritual life from different positions in life, accordingly you may be able to do only a certain things what Krishna has mentioned. You may not be able to do everything. Everything won't be possible because it is very wide. Krishna has spoken in general everything about spiritual life. He has given a general assessment of spiritual life, what spiritual life is, both in Bhagavad Gita as well as here. And there are many chapters in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavadam. When you read, you may start getting a shock. How is this all going to happen to me in my life in this short period of time? And sooner or later, we have to leave this body. And as Prahlada said, that മുഗ്ധസ്യ ബാല്യ ക്രൗമാര്യ ക്രീഡതേയാദി വിംശതി ജരയാഗ്രസ്ത ദേഹസ്യ യാത്രികൽപ്പം വിംശതം. First 20 years is gone on and the childhood, boyhood, playing and enjoy, trying to enjoy life, because that was the main focus in the first 20 years of life. The last 20 years of life was busy with the old age body and disease and dealing with this body, maintaining it, struggling to survive, to maintain this body. So the last 20 years also gone, the first 20 years also gone. So out of our short span, 40 years have gone like that. Another 20 years, 30 years is gone sleeping. So what's left then? And in that short period of time, what is left for us to achieve something so vast as this spiritual knowledge is spoken here in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam, to understand it, to practice it, and to get some benefit from that is difficult. It is not easy. It's not easy because the knowledge is so high, and at different levels Krishna has spoken that. So the only option we have is that to accept as much as possible within our capacity. And we will all read Bhagavad Gita and understand differently where we have to start in Bhagavad Gita. There is no one approach to the problem. Spiritual life is so variegated. That is why all the different kinds of yoga systems spoken. Apart from karmam, bhakti, jnanam, they are the main ones. Karmam, bhakti, jnanam. But supplementary to that, there are so many other yoga processes spoken. Dhyana yogam, akshara brahma yogam, and several things what Krishna has mentioned there. How to fit it all together, all these things. And that requires a lot of thoughts to be invested in that, to understand it properly. Yeah. And you can see in the life of great personalities how they started their spiritual life. Many of them have come to spiritual life through suffering in this world. From the suffering, they developed the vairagyam, and that made them to look inwards. And the result was that they have Krishna. Obviously, it is the Antaryami inside was driving them in that direction. Like we spoke about Ramana Maharshi's case, he was... He had particularly no spiritual inclination till about 16 years old. He was living like anybody else in this world, right? And none of his spiritual culture was manifesting outwardly. Nothing was coming out, right? In the meanwhile, someone came to visit him and spoke to him about Tirunamalai, and he decided to go there straight away, right? Got that attraction, and that is how he went to Tirunamalai. Right. So in the same way, in every Mahalpa, if you look at in their life, it is at some particular point that they got attraction towards spiritual life very seriously. It didn't happen on day one. It was not all planned from the beginning when they came to this world. They had to go through a lot of their own prarabdham, and somewhere in the middle their spiritual progress started. Suddenly that spiritual culture in that person came out, right? So, and then after that, once they have become serious in spiritual life, and that is the story what we read in the books, after they have become serious about spiritual life, that's when they really started their spiritual activities, right? So, So Krishna is saying that these experiences here, he is talking in general. What Krishna has spoken is all in general, and individual experiences will vary. Many people, when they go through the spiritual activities, what Krishna has spoken, it is not that they have studied Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. In many cases, from previous lives that they have acquired, that vasanas and their spiritual assets, what they have got, they began from that position, right? So, realizing the soul, realizing the self, that is the ultimate goal in everything. Realizing that this body is temporary. Reality is the soul inside. Antaryami is the reality. and able to leave this body in a particular way, that at the time of death, this body does not become a burden. Burden in the sense that when we whole life we were busy with maintaining this body, and this body has taken a lot of our time and energy in life, and ultimately it leaves us and goes. And that fear also it creates inside us, as Krishna said in the Agadisham, isn't it? Yavatsvar asvadantatram tavad ishwaradobhayam. He is mentioning there how vadya sevana drishtitushtida, that like a person who is destined to be hung, that is the last stage. Even at that point, he feels that I'm going to die. That fear that has come in the Agadisham, we will see in the 10th chapter. So, practically, what is this body done for us in life? All it has done is, it was a burden right from the beginning to the end. And it has created a lot of fear in our mind. And to maintain this body, we were pushed to do a lot of things, to work in this world. And at the end, it creates a lot of fear inside. And finally, it creates so much fear while it leaves us. So this is our actual situation in relationship with the body. Body has come. When we came to this world, we were given this body, and it kept on growing, kept on changing, and kept on growing. And one day, without even saying thanks, it goes. It goes, leaves us and goes away. And Krishna is pointing out to us that this body is not you. You are that Antaryami inside. My representation inside you all as the Antaryami. And this body is only a temporary arrangement, and once you leave this body, another body will be prepared based on the karma, what you have done in this body, based on the vasanas, everything. So, deha dharmam, that janmam, maranam, all these things are deha dharmam. It has nothing to do with the reality, the self inside. And how do we get to know that? You can get to know that because in Sushupti, what you find there, that you just have to study Sushupti very well. Right? Sushupti, you are not there as a person, like you are in the awakened state and in the dream state. Right? And you are not there as a person in the Sushupti. And that Abhimanam is, Ahankaram is also not there. And personality has disappeared, and everything goes away in Sushupti. Body goes away, the mind goes away, the intelligence goes away, and the senses goes away, everything. So, similarly, in this state now we are in a vacant state, when we are conscious that we are male, we are female, that also goes away, right? So, to such an extent, body leaves us in Sushupti. Body and mind, everything leaves us, right? And still, when we wake up from the Sushupti, we say we were happy. We were feeling blissful, right? So, that experience is enough to make a person think that what is my connection with this body? That's when you start thinking with the connection with this body. It is so important to know these things because in Swapnam, for example, in the dream state, right? I experienced that Swapnam, the dream. Why? Think about this way, that in Swapnam, Antaryami comes, right? And Antaryami runs the whole show in Swapnam. We are just, body is not there, gross body is not there. You are in that dream state and Antaryami is doing everything. And we are there separately from the Antaryami, doing all kinds of things. Yeah. And it is, what Krishna is saying is, that you study these things very carefully and start realizing there is only Atma here. There is, body is not the whole show. Actually everything is Atma. Atma's presence. Just like, if you think your own mind, if you look at it, yeah, one thought comes. And then, while you are thinking about it, suddenly it goes into another thought. It's not. One thought leaves and another thought comes in. That is the way chitta-vritti happens. Every thought comes, goes. Another one comes, goes. Another one comes, goes. Continuously this change is happening. Who is doing this from inside? Yeah. So, to know that, it is not difficult. That there is a power inside, which Shastram calls it as Antaryami. This Antaryami from inside is controlling us every moment. Different thoughts are coming one after the other. It is not you are in control of that. Thoughts are coming on its own. Like in the Bhagavadam, if we look into the 7th chapter, 7th canto, Shri Narada Maharshi is saying there, Supta Prabhodayo Sandha Almano Gari Almadrik Pashyan Bandamja Mokshanja Maya Matramna Vastuda. So, if you carefully observe your own mind, you can see this happening, that Supta Prabhodayo Sandha Almano Gari Almadrik. That means when you wake up from the deep sleep state, suddenly we came up to the vacant state. Yeah. Supta Prabhodaya Sandho, that sandhi, that junction between the two points. If you are able to focus on that, Pashyan Bandhanja Mokshanja Maya Matramna Vastuda. Bandham and Moksham you can understand from that. Just like one thought comes and then it goes and another thought comes. Antaryami from inside is doing these things. And we are saying, where is the soul? People are asking this question. What other proof do you need? Who is doing this? The thought comes inside. One thought comes and goes, and another thought comes from inside. So, this thing called the mind, Supta Prabhodaya Sandho Altmano Gadir Altmadrikka, one who can see this, that between these Sushupti and the Jagrat, how that switch happens, it is not in your control, is it? When you wake up in the morning, did you wake up because you wanted to wake up? No. Somebody is arranging from inside that that's enough for you in the Sushupti. It's time to come inside to the Jagrat. So that waking up process is an indication that the control is not in you. Okay, you may keep an alarm and all to wake up. That's another story. But normally if you don't have any alarm, so you are sleeping, right? Your own won't be able to wake up. Who wakes you up at that particular time? Antaryami wakes you up. That understanding, we must get it. But because we don't have the time to think about all these things, we never took any serious attention on all this, interest in all these things, we got busy only with the vacant state all through the life, and therefore all these things is not making any sense at this stage in life. This is the problem. They are so important to understand all these things that to understand the presence of Atma, it's not very difficult. If you look at the thought waves that comes one after the other, one comes, stays for some time, then it goes. Another one comes immediately after that. There is a gap between the two thought waves. But then you are not able to notice that. Krishna is saying that is to be taken into account. And similarly, from your vacant state, who decides to go into dream state? How is that decision then? And who makes the decision from dream to deep sleep? And from deep sleep back to vacant state again? All these decisions are happening inside you by the Antaryami without your knowledge. And so specifically done all these things in everyone's life, and still we are saying, where is the Atma? Where is the soul? So imagine the depth of avidya inside us, how deep that avidya is. They are not able to see things in the proper way, in spite of the fact that Krishna has given strong indications how he controls us throughout life from beginning to end. Waking state, dream state, deep state, one after the other, right? So, Pashyan Bandhanja Mokshanja Maya Matramana Vastuda. So, these are things to take notice of while studying these verses in the Bhagavadam. So, in vacant state again, we are experiencing that vacant state, and we are like a jiva then, behaving like a jiva, identifying with the body, thinking that I am doing everything. And Antaryami is still there inside as a witness, watching everything what is being done, right? And all our gross body, subtle body, senses, everything is working because of his presence, right? So if Antaryami is not inside, then this mind, intelligence, ego and our chittam, everything, we won't even know that they exist if Antaryami is not there, right? So, not only the experiences, but also our personality is all centered around this ahankaram. Mind, intelligence, senses, all these are from Antaryami's position. For a jiva, it is its experiences, all these things, what it is going through the mind, body, senses, everything, right? So, from our different experiences, we get to know that there is a thing, power working inside called the mind. There's a power called intelligence, what is inside. And when you can understand from its activities of the mind, sangalpam, vigalpam. Similarly, nishchayalpiya buddhi is making decisions. In the same way, when you start remembering something, then you realize there's a thing called a chittam inside. That's where the memory is, right? So, and in the same way, when you are identifying with the body and thinking that you are a person, there is ahankaram also. So that is how you notice this. Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. All four things, from its activities you can observe that they exist inside. When you are having so many thought waves coming and going, thought waves, that's the indication the mind is working. When you are making decisions in life, that's the indication that buddhi is working. When you are remembering things from the past and acting on that or keeping in your memory, it is staying somewhere inside, wherever it is, it shows that chittam is working. And similarly, when you are dealing with the world as a person, thinking that I am an individual, identifying with the body means ahankaram is working. So these four things, manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam, through their activities one can understand, right? Because from their anubhavam, from their experience, right? And they cannot work on their own. They require support from behind. And that's Antaryami, who is the witness to everything. It is only because Antaryami is there, mind is working, buddhi is working, chittam is working, memory is working, ahankaram is working, right? So, this gross body, and the subtle body, and the senses, everything is considered to be drishyam. Krishna says that, right? So, just like you are seeing this world, that's also drishyam. World is drishyam. You are perceiving through senses. But these four things are also drishyam. Because you are perceiving, Antaryami is perceiving them. Because Antaryami is not there, they have no connection with me. Only because Antaryami is there, I feel some connection with the mind, intelligence, senses, mind, intelligence, and ahankaram and chittam. Four things. So, the real me, he has nothing to do with any of these things. Outside the subtle body, separately from that, pure Sachidanandam and that Chaitanyam is me. Real me is that, not any of the other things, right? And that thing doesn't take birth, doesn't die either, right? And so, due to this identification, which is called Adhyasam, and due to that Ajnanam, due to that Adhyasam, I am identified with the body, and due to that, that is called a Jiva, all these problems are happening to me, due to that, right? So, because of this identification with the body, I feel that these three states are existing. Jagrat, Sapnam, Sushupti, right? Jiva is nothing but a reflection of the real me, Antaryami, right? And this can be known, I can be understood, or similarly the Jiva Bhavam can be known through the sadhana process of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, right? And so when one is able to do that continuously through this process of hearing Shravanam and practicing it through the sadhana process, bhakti sadhana or jnana sadhana or yoga sadhana, it doesn't matter, whichever sadhana process, and realizing that my real swarupam, what is that, Sachidananda Paramatma, there mind has to become established in that, and that is the position of a realized soul. That's what Krishna said in that 48th verse. Almana pitputrabhyam animeyo bhavapeyo na bhavapeyo vastunam abhinye advaya lakshana. Right. And again, Krishna is going to say that through an example. Taror bija vipagabhyam ye vidvan janma samyamau taror vilakshano drashta evam drashta tano prasakha. A tree has born from a seed, right? It grows and finally it dies. The tree dies, right? So if you look at the tree, its birth, its existence for some time, and then it dies. The tree dies, right? And similarly, one who is looking at the tree, you can see that its appearance, its growth, and its destruction does not affect the person who is looking at the tree. I'm looking at the tree, the tree has come from a seed, started growing for a few years, stayed for some time, and then it got old, and then the tree dies. And I'm looking at that. It doesn't affect me, right? So, and similarly, this body, what is, it's come, it grows sometime, stays sometime, and then it dies. And me, the real me, Antaryami inside, is looking at it. Of the appearance of this body, its growth, it stays for some time, and eventually this body dies and goes away. I'm seeing that as Antaryami sees that in the same way, right? So, the day I have entered into the womb of the mother, from that moment onwards, right up to death, continuously it's been changing. Inside the womb it was changing, coming out of the womb it was continuously changing, and finally it changes and then it dies and goes away. Right? But that Antaryami inside has been witnessing this from the beginning to end. This is the position of Antaryami inside. Antaryami inside me has been witnessing these changes that's been happening outside him. Which means, from the day the jiva has come into the womb, and then it has kept on growing, and then it kept on changing also, and then it went to all the six different changes in life, and eventually one day it disappeared altogether, right? So Atma, which is witnessing all these things, and these six changes, nothing happens to him, to Atma. Nothing happens to Atma. So, birth, death, in the middle, this growth, changes that happens, byproducts, and then apakshayam, nasham, viparinamam, all the other six changes, it's all for the body only, right? And that's what Krishna is saying, pointing out here. Paramatma has no change happening. He is stable and steady. But deham, body, goes through everything. And deha vilakshanam. Sachidananda Paramatma is deha vilakshanam. And what is happening to the body of a tree when it is coming and growing, stays some time and then disappears. And I am witnessing that. In the same way, this Antaryami inside is witnessing this body, which has, the moment it has entered into the womb of the mother, it grew up inside, came out, and then it kept on changing, and then it disappeared. It is witnessed by the Antaryami inside. Just like a tree outside, we witness that. A tree is born from the seed. It grows, and it stays for some time, and finally it gets old, and the tree dies and goes away. I am witnessing that. It doesn't have any effect on me. In the same way, this tree called this body is coming in the womb, then comes out, and then keeps on changing, and eventually this body dies and goes. Antaryami is not affected by that. Antaryami is only a witness to everything, right? So, so that is the position. That's what Krishna is saying here, that, and he is different from the body. He is different from the body. Therefore, that's what he has mentioned in that. Right. And so just like this example of what's happening to the tree and how I am noticing it, in the same way, he's saying, Antaryami, Krishna is saying that Antaryami is only looking at it, witnessing all these changes, nothing happens to him. Nothing happens to him. The change is always happening to the body. The day it had entered into the womb, kept changing, came out, and then whole life it has changed, and eventually it died and gone. And if this understanding comes, Krishna says, you don't have anything to fear about death. If this realization comes, it has to happen now. It is no point in happening after death. It has to happen now. Otherwise, you have to die in fear about death. Yeah. So, in order to stress this point again, what Krishna is saying, that one who has not understood all these things, he does not have the proper capacity to understand, and therefore his material existence, what will happen to him, is the next five verses, starting from 50. Five verses is to talk about a person who hasn't realized this in life, what he will have to face in this world. Next to five verses. Prakrito evam alpanam avivichya bhudapuman tatvena sparsha sammodha samsaram pradipadyade. He says, ignorant person who does not know this, one who is not able to differentiate between the body and the self, and simply got absorbed in the world, thinking that everything in this world is important, such a person, he will experience material existence, right? In other words, what happens to him is that because he is identified with this body so much and with the world so much, the result of that is that he will be in material existence. Means birth, death, old age and disease. It's for him. These four things. It is for that person who did not understand this. The connection, relationship between the Antaryami and the body. Like that example in the last verse he spoke. Right? Prakriti devam atmanam avivichya abhudapuman tatvena sparsha sammodha samsaram pratipadyade. He says. Right? So, one who cannot take this seriously, this difference between the body and the Antaryami, Atma, and not able to see it properly, he will identify with the body through ahangaram, he will be bound in this world. And not knowing that, he is different from this gross, subtle body and senses everything. And if he does not realize it in this life properly, through the knowledge process spoken in the Shastram, and through Tattvajnanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam in this way, and if he has not acquired that knowledge before death, then he will be bound in this world. There is no other alternative. Krishna says that here. And then he is talking about this material existence itself. Because material existence means three modes of nature, basically. Sattva samhal sangal rishin devan rajasa asura manushan tamasa bhutadiryaktvam bhramito yadi karmabhi. Because in that person who has identified with the body all through life, and due to that he has karma vasana inside, because he engages, if you identify with the body, you are engaging in karma. Due to karma, karma vasana. And due to the power of that karma vasana, we will get the body in different species. Demigods or human species or the theriac, animals, birds and all that. And then we keep on rotating in that. When the activities are very pious activities, punyam, due to that sattvaguna will increase in a person. And naturally he will get the birth in the higher species. Vidyadharas, Charanas, Gandharvas, Kinnaras, all the higher species, right? Similarly, if the karma vasana was such that lot of rajogunam it has created in a person, due to that he will get a mixture of both, pious and sinful both. And when they get on more or less on an equal level, pious activities and sinful activities, that's when he gets the human body. And then when the sinful activities are excessive and due to that tamogunam increases. So you can see pious activities creates sattvagunam. Due to sattvagunam you get a higher body. Similarly, sinful activities creates rajogunam. Due to rajogunam, you get a human body. And sinful activities create tamogunam. Due to tamogunam, you get a body of birds, animals, plants, trees, and all other things. Right? So, these three modes of nature, sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, due to its dominance, whichever is dominating in a person, due to that, he gets these three different types of bodies. Uttamam, Madhyamam, Athamam. The different three states, three types of bodies. Salsangal, Sattva-sangal, Krishi, Deva. Krishis and Devas is due to Sattva-gunam. Then Rajasa, Asura, Manusha. Due to Rajogunam, Manusha Janmam and Asura Janmam. Tamasa, Bhudadiryaktam, Bhramido, Yami, Karmabhi. Due to Tamogunam, you get into the lower species of life and also ghosts and spirits and things like that. Then he is saying that due to that he is keep on going like this, changing the body one after the other. Right? And Alpa is not involved in all those things. And how does this karma, due to karma, how does that bhramanam happens or this rotation? That's the next verse, 52nd. Mrityado gayada pashyan, yadheva anugarodhitan, evam buddhigunan pashyan, anihop anugaryate. Sometimes, how this karma, how does that karma goes on, and how Atma gets affected by that, right? Actually, nothing happens to Atma inside. And it is a jiva who is suffering from all these things. Vyaktitva abhimanam, kartrutva abhimanam, boktrutva abhimanam, everything, right? So, therefore, actually, results of the karma is for the jiva. Jiva experiences everything. Jiva means that ahankaram inside, which is born from the reflection of the antaryami in the subtle body. What that means is, when avidya comes in us, maya has put that avidya inside us. Due to avidya, we identify with the gross body. And that identification is in the subtle body. Identification with the gross body, that actual identification is in the subtle body, which is the ahankaram. That ahankaram gets its power or it gets life from antaryami. Antaryami's reflection in the ahankaram is jiva. Right? So this cycle of karma, what we have done in this world through the gross and subtle bodies, all that is experienced by this jiva in the subtle body. He is the one who has to pay for it. He is the one who gets it, both good and bad, pious activities and sinful activities, right? But our actual swarupam is that Sachidananda Paramatma, Antaryami. That is actually what we are, right? And that has nothing to do with the gross body or the subtle body. He remains as a witness to everything. Its reflection is this jiva who is going through all this suffering, right? And when Antaryami reflects in the Andhakaranam, which is the subtle body, then only the jiva gets its life. And that jiva has got this, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, all the other things related to that, right? And he is forced to experience the results of the karma also, karma bhalam. It's all jiva who has to carry the everything, right? So, that jiva is like a reflected sun. The real sun is Antaryami. His reflection in the subtle body is jiva. Like the main sun is in the space, in the sky. He reflects in a pot of water. That's a reflected sun. The main sun is in the space. In the same way, Antaryami is in the Hrit, who is not affected by anything. He reflects in the subtle body, and then that jiva comes, jiva bhava comes. And jiva is the one who has to bear all these things. Birth, death, old age, disease, all the suffering, happiness, everything. So, so because it is in the subtle body, this jiva, jiva will be affected by the condition of the subtle body. In other words, suppose you have a lot of karma vasana in there, in that subtle body, in your chittam. All the karma vasanas are there. Through karma what you have acquired. That karma vasana will have an effect on the jiva. Jiva is in the subtle body. And it is just like, they give this example like this, that suppose the water is very clean. The reflection of the sun will be very clear in the water. Suppose the water is very muddy. That effect of the mud in the water will be there on the sun as well. which is reflecting in the water. In the same way, in the subtle body, mud is this vasanas, what we are talking about, is the vasanas. Suppose there is a lot of karma vasana in the subtle body. When Antaryami reflects in the subtle body, that jiva will be affected, which is the reflection of the Antaryami, will be affected by all the vasanas as well, inside, right? So, that is what is called Ubhadi Dharmam. Ubhadi Dharmam will affect the jiva, because Ubhadi has got these vasanas, karma vasanas inside, right? Because of that, depending upon that vasanas, what is inside that subtle body, it will change the nature of the ahankaram in a person. How ahankaram works inside. This is how everything is very subtle. All these things cannot be proven by any experiment or anything. This has to be understood by from the rishis, what they are saying to us, how it works. That's what Krishna is explaining here, right? That the jiva inside the andhakaranam, or in the subtle body, and due to the that andhakaranam, or the subtle body, where the jiva is present, suppose you have pumped a lot of vasanas into that, karma vasana in there, if you have created, all that karma vasana will have an effect on the jiva when it is living in this world, right? So, and similarly in him, this kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam will be very strong. And similarly, he will be looking for this karma phalam to enjoy the results, happiness or distress, right? And Krishna has given us here an example also that when music and dance is going on in a stage, right? And depending upon the beats or the ragam or the thalam, it will have a impact on the person who is listening to it. Naturally it is, isn't it? When you hear music, you are affected by the beats or the thalam or the ragam, layam, everything, right? That effect on us will be, it will come on our face. How it is affecting us, how we are experiencing it, right? If you are enjoying it, it will show up on your face, is it not? Similarly, this Sachidananda Paramatma, its reflection is the andhakaranam, is the ahankaram, right? Sachidanandam, Paramatma, is present throughout the subtle body. Not only in the ahankaram, it's also present in the mind, it's also present in the intelligence, it's also present in the vasanas, chittam, and it's present in the ahankaram as well, right? But one whom we call it as jiva is that one that is reflecting in the ahankaram, whom calls us jiva, right? So, and because of that, what is happening to the ahankaram? Ahankaram gets affected by the vasanas. Suppose it depends on the vasana what we have created. Then vasanas will have a strong effect on the ahankaram. And because of the ahankaram, Antaryami is present there also. Whatever that is happening in the ahankaram is what is happening to the jiva then. And that's what's affecting us, right? And that is what this vyaktitva abhimanam, personality, individuality and all what we say, right? And in this way, vyaktitva abhimanam, personality is this, that's where this kartrutva bhoktrutva also. I'm the doer, I'm the enjoyer, everything. So, and because of that, what happens? The results of the karma also will come. Because you are the doer, you are the enjoyer, Due to that, when you engage in karma, when its results comes, you got to accept it, the results of the karma, right? When you are listening to the music, the example there before, or when you see somebody dancing, how their bhavam of the person who was singing and dancing, and how this has entered into your mind without your knowledge, right? And it expresses on your face. The expression comes on your face. The reason for that is you have seen the dance and the music, and that created an impression inside you. Similarly, when the Sachidananda Paramatma is reflecting in the subtle body, and it extends into all the parts of the subtle body, including the ahankaram, right? Jiva bhavam comes, and because this ahankaram is the one what is called jiva, because when the antaryami chaitanyam enters into ahankaram, jiva bhavam comes in us. The jiva bhavam comes in us, right? And its continuity is that this I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. It's a continuity of this ahankaram, kartrutva bhoktrutva, right? And due to that, karma phalam, whatever happens, he has to experience that. But at the same time, when all this is going on, the antaryami inside Sachidananda Paramatma is not affected by any of these things, right? So, having said that, they give the example that when the sun moves in the space, right? When the sun is reflecting in the water, if the water moves, the sun also seems to be moving, right? And when the sun in the water, that means the reflection is moving, it's not affecting the sun in the sky. Similarly, when all these things are happening in the subtle body, it does not affect the antaryami in any circumstances, right? So ahankaram is in the subtle body, and everything which is happening in the upadhi, which means the subtle body, the gross body, everything, it all has its effect on the ahankaram only. It has nothing to do with the antaryami inside. So, this losing our swarupam, that's when we are in the lost condition now. We have lost our connection with antaryami, which is called swarupa vismriti, forgetfulness of our spiritual identity, and identification with the body, gross body, through ahankaram, which has created the personality. This is responsible for the bondage. That is what is called a bondage. Samsara bandham. That is what Krishna is saying here in these words. Right? And that rotation in this condition like this, in a condition like that, right, will change when he realizes his identification with the antaryami inside. Right? And in order to get this inside us strongly, with various examples, Krishna is explaining this to us in the next few verses, right? So, in other words, Alma is not involved in any karma, but this repetition of cycle of birth and death is continuously happening. How does this work? That is that 52nd verse. Nrityado gayada pashyan yathaiva anigarodhitan evam buddhigunan pashyan nihopi anugayate. Somebody is dancing and the music is going on, and how that affects the person who is witnessing that, is observing that it is having an impact on that person. Similarly, Krishna says, Atma is not doing anything, but due to the gunam, it forces. Example Krishna is given. It's like you observe a dance or a music. You have not done anything there, but it has an effect on you without being involved in that. Yeah? In the same way, subtle body and the jiva is doing all sorts of things. And but it has experienced by Antaryami. And so what that means is, even though Antaryami is not involved, right, you can have that experience inside of what is happening. It's all very subtle things, these are. People who study Upanishads and all, they study all this in very depth. Very depth they analyze these things. So that they get clarity inside, that what is going on inside us, right? That the Antaryami is there. What is the relationship between Antaryami and Jiva? Generally it is said Antaryami is not affected by anything. What is happening? Antaryami is not affected. But then Krishna is saying here that it is similar to someone who is watching a dance or a music, and it just has an impact on you without your knowledge. Is it not? It has some impact on you. In the same way, it appears as though that even though Jiva is doing its own things in this world, it appears as though Antaryami is also affected by that. Right? So, karmam is all in the upadhi, subtle body, mind, body, intelligence, senses, and then the gross body. They are doing the karmam. So, he is saying again, another verse, to make us more clear to us that this is how it is. You see? Because without these examples, it's very difficult. People keep on asking questions about that. And when you don't understand all these things, also it's very difficult. Everything because scripture says like this, so I should do it like that. That's not how spiritual life is. Most of the people are like that, isn't it? Scripture says like that, so I'm doing it. That's no good. Neither here nor there it is. So Krishna is trying to educate us that how does the Antaryami Paramatma Chaitanya insight, what's its connection with Jiva? And all these things are in the Bhagavadam and similarly in the Bhagavad Gita also, to widen our understanding of spiritual life, to make us more aware that there is a lot of things in spiritual life which probably we won't understand. The activities of the soul, Antaryami inside, we won't fully understand how it works, right? And to take this avidya away from us, what is already inside us, which has caused all these problems, that avidya, which has come from maya. And with that maya started avidya, with avidya started karmam, karmam started vasana, vasana started this cycle of birth and death. So we are in that rotation now. We are somewhere in that cycle, somewhere in that cycle. Right? That's where we are at the moment. So to become free from that is not easy, because there are so many barriers that has been created. It began with Antaryami, Maya input this avidya in us. With avidya we started, desires came in. Then we identified with the body. Avidya came in, then identified with the body. And then the desires came. And then activities began, and then the vasanas were created, and the cycle began. Avidya kama karma bhi. Kunti Devi said that everywhere in the Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita also. So this is the situation here. Maya has created avidya, and that avidya has influenced us in a way that we lost our we lost our spiritual identification with Antaryami and became identified with the body. Identification with the body means desires have come. Kamam has come. And that desires have created karmam. And karmam has created karma vasana. And that vasana is full of in chittam, present there. And then we have got different types of body. Demigod's body, Rishi's body, human body, Asura's body, Rakshasa's body, or even the lower species, whatever it may be. different types of bodies because based on these three modes of what we have created to karmam and karma vasana. And then we are in that cycle going on from one body to another. So Krishna says that the situation is like this. While this is all going on, you have to find a way yourself how to come out of this. Every one of us, we have to do it. And that is spiritual life. Spiritual life means to breaking away from this cycle where we have been thrown into and to becoming free from that. And that is very, very much individual thing. It cannot be done collectively. It's a misunderstanding to think that. That is why organizations and all cannot help you on this. It's a misunderstanding that if I join an organization, I will become perfect at the end. It's not going to happen. It has never happened. It will not happen either. So, one must be very clear about all these things, because otherwise it won't make any sense. Shastram says so. Krishna is saying that. And he gave this example that even though Antaryami is not involved in anything, Antaryami is independent, but just like when you watch a music or a dance, how you feel affected by that, some way it will have some effect on you. In your face it will come up. In the same way, Krishna is saying this, it can appear as though it's happening to Antaryami is affected by that, even though nothing is happening, right? So that is what this example, 52nd verse. Nrityado gayada pashyan, yadhaiva anugarotitan, evam buddhigunan pashyan, anitho hyap anugaryate. Right? And sometimes what happens when you can see this always, somebody is singing and dancing, you also tend to join them. Like in the Harinam you find, when people go on Harinam, our devotees are singing and you provoke them a little bit, the audience. They will also join for some time. That's all, that's finished. After that they'll go their own way. They'll come and join you for a few minutes. They'll dance with you, they'll hold hands like this and together they will dance. And then we say Gauranga. He will say Gauranga. That's a preaching, isn't it? He says Gauranga and then he chants Hare Krishna. Some or the other you make him to chant and you feel that you have done your bit and he also feels he has made some advancement. And this way, that's all. So you can see how that affects. They are observers standing on the street, but they feel like joining you. Temporal. They know that they are not going to be there permanently. They are not going to come and join and take initiation or anything. They'll just for a few minutes, they'll be with you having some fun together, and then they go. After that, they're gone, right? So, similarly, how they were affected by that, in the same way, this Alpa Antaryami also, for some time it may appear as though Antaryami is having some good fun with everything what is being happening on the stage, but Antaryami is not involved in that. Antaryami is independent. Right. He says. Another example, that suppose there is a tree standing next to a lake, and if the tree is reflecting in the water, right, in the lake, right? And if the water in the lake moves due to strong wind, if the water moves, the tree seems to be moving, the reflection. So here, that's example he's saying here. Yadhambasa prachalata taravobi chalaiva chakshusha brahmimayena drishyade brahmadiva bhu. Right? And sometimes if our eyes get, if you closely look at it, you feel the effect on your eyes as well. Right? That the water is moving and the whole earth is moving. You get that impression, right? Similarly, all the other things in this world, what you are experiencing, Krishna says, is all in your mind only. Nothing is happening to the self, right? Material existence, he is saying, it is like that. Yeah. just like children do this, they go round and round and round, and then they feel that the whole earth is, moving, right? So, actually, earth is not moving, but because you have done this, running around in circle, right? And due to that, when you look, and then suddenly when you stop and you look at it, you feel that the world is rotating. The planet, the earth is rotating, right? So, what we see then is the reflection of the bhumi, earth, in our eyes. That's what you are experiencing, isn't it? When you run around like this in circle, right? And then suddenly you stop and you look at the earth. Earth is also seems to be rotating. What does that mean? It is a reflection of the earth in your eye, what you are experiencing inside, right? So, because eye has been rotating, due to that, you get this impression that earth is also rotating because of that. Then, bhogam, sense gratification is also false. And Krishna is explaining that with two examples. Yatha manoratadhiya vishaya anubhavo mrasha swapna drishtasya dasharha tatha samsaram atmana. Means that just like in a dream you had sense gratification, different types of sense gratification you have experienced in the dream, for example, right? In the same way, Krishna says that this material existence, samsaram, what Antaryami is experiencing is also false. Like in the dream you experience something, similarly in the mental chariot, Manorajyam, you have been thinking about so many things that can happen in life, how you could be happy in that way. Dreaming about life, right? Daydreaming, they call it. Manorajyam. Daydreaming as well as in the dream, both, night. Whatever that's happening, it's not real, isn't it? But its effect is there on you. You still had its effect, right? Similarly, Krishna says, you're thinking you're enjoying in the vacant state. Actually, Antaryami inside is not involved in anything. The jiva is the one who is having this effect. It's only on the jiva. That's the point he is making here. Just to explain to us how different the jiva is from the Antaryami position. Yatha manoratadhiyo vishayanubhavo mrusha swapna drishtasya dasarha tatha samsaram atmana. Right? Both in the dream state as well as in the manorajyam, in your mental chariot, right? They are all false. So similarly, he says, this jiva's experience of this samsaram, about which we cry, how much I have to suffer in this world. We talk about all those things, isn't it? Suffering in this world, right? Krishna says, actually, there is no such thing. There is no, it is all mithya. He says, false, right? Because jiva, its actual surubam is Antaryami, Paramartha Surubam, Sachidanandam, right? So, if you look at it from that position, from the position of Antaryami, this jiva's experience is mithya. Is false. This suffering, jiva samsaram, material existence, if you look at it from Antaryami's position, you have to look at it. You must think yourself as the Antaryami and look at it. Then your suffering here is false. It's not real, right? It's only a misunderstanding. Due to that, you're thinking that you are going through cycle of birth and death. And all this has happened because of the Surubha Vismriti. You lost your spiritual identity as Antaryami, and that is why this has happened. That's the point Krishna is driving at. Do you understand? Krishna is saying that this experience of the jiva, suffering, enjoying all these things, if you look at it from Antaryami's position, it is not real. It's not real. From jiva's position, because jiva has got avidya in him, therefore it all looks real to him, because he lost his identity with the Antaryami. That is why this has happened. And therefore, this has happened purely because of Swarupa Vismriti. He lost his identity with the Antaryami. So, which is actually false, Krishna says. From Antaryami's position means what? From Krishna's position. Isn't it? Krishna is the Antaryami. So from Antaryami's position, this suffering what we are going through in this world is false. From Antaryami's position, from Krishna's position. The problem is that because we have this avidya inside us, ignorance, avidya inside us, due to that, even though this is all false, it appears to us as though it's real. The suffering is real, right? So, if Krishna is saying that this experience is all false, what you are suffering here, and this material existence itself is false, then why do we have to struggle so much to get out of it? That question comes then, if not. So, the answer is the next verse. Artehi avidyamanevi samsar na nivartate dhyayado vishayanasya svapne anarthagamo yatha. Famous verse in the Bhagavatam. Four times this comes, this verse comes in the Bhagavatam, in four different places. Artehi avidyamanevi samsar na nivartate dhyayado vishayanasya svapne anarthagamo yatha. Jiva has got this problem. What is that? He keeps thinking about sense gratification continuously, one thing or the other, always wants to satisfy the senses, right? So, that is Jiva's nature. So therefore, in Swapnam, in dream state, how a Jiva experiences everything, even though they are not real, he suffers in the dream. We all suffer in the dream also, isn't it? If the dream is giving us trouble, suppose it's not a very good dream, a bad dream comes, then a lot of suffering comes in the dream. Till you wake up, you are suffering then, in the dream state, right? Similarly, till this avidya goes away, and knowledge comes in, Krishna says, Jiva has to experience these miseries of this world. That's the answer. Arteshu avidyamanebi samsadar na nivartade dhyayado vishayanasya svapne anarthagamo yatha. Shisho Brahmashi keeps saying this. Right? Therefore, because of that, it is important to get rid of the avidya. And avidya will only go when vidya comes in, jnanam comes in. So that's what is spoken about it in that verse. In other words, even if you say that from Krishna's position, this material existence is false. There is no suffering here. That is when you look at it from his position, from Krishna's position. And if it is like that, why do I have to work hard to get out of this? It's all false anyway. But it is not like that for us now. Even though we say it's false, we are suffering still. So, the answer to that is this verse. Like in the dream state, when you were experiencing some dream, hellish dream, you were suffering there till you wake up from that dream. And only when you wake up, you realize that it was a dream, and then you become free from the suffering. Of the suffering from the dream, right? In the same way, Krishna says that you are involved in the sense gratification in this world. And till knowledge comes in and realize that this is not real, this experience is not real, till then you have to suffer in this world. And it is for that purpose, Krishna says, you have to have the sadhana, jnanam, necessary for that. So then Krishna says, therefore, this effort is even though this is all not real, the experience is there, suffering is there though. We can also agree that, because everything what we do in this world, what's real in this? We do so many things for the sake of the body, and we know that body is also not real, experience is also not real, but we are suffering. That's the way it is now, right? When you dream, what you dream there, you don't think it is false. It is real for you in the dream, right? Only when you wake up, it becomes false. And so in order to become free from the suffering of the dream, you have to wake up. Similarly, in the same way, because we are completely immersed in ignorance at the moment, right? Therefore, this world, which is not real, gives us impression it is real, and it gives us impression in us that we are suffering from this world. The world itself is not real, the experience is also not real, but because we are immersed in this, we experience that. And that is called a kind of sleep it is, ajnana nidra. From that you have to wake up, and therefore one has to try for moksham. So moksham, what does moksham means? Liberation means this effort to wake up from the sleep of ignorance. That's what is called moksha. To waking up from the sleep of ignorance, right? And to realize our, actually who are we? That Antaryami inside, who is present, right? Which we have forgotten, and get back that Surupa Vismriti, what we have lost. That is the result of that. So Avidya Navritti, that is the purpose of self-realization, right? Surupa Vismriti, that misunderstanding what we had, and becoming established again in the Paramatma, Antaryami, right? So that's all it is, what Krishna is saying here, right? The same story in the Yoga Vasishtam, that the prince became a beggar, and later on he realizes that he is not a beggar, and he comes back into the royal family again. But when he was a beggar, he had to suffer everything as a beggar. But when he realized that he is not a beggar, he is a prince, and he has come back to the royal family again, he has got back all his happiness back, right? So due to that knowledge that he is a prince, the other ignorance what he had that he is a beggar has gone from him. So when it moves, happens like that, he gets established in his position as the prince. In the same way, jiva also, as long as he is identifying with the body, he is a jiva. As long as he is identifying with the body. When that ignorance goes away from him, his bodily identification goes away, he gets his position back as Antaryami, which is like the prince. So getting rid of that avidya inside, and getting back that surupam, what we have lost, right? then we won't get it back till this avidya goes away from us, right? So it is for that purpose, spiritual life, all self-realization, everything, right? And as long as you are sleeping towards self-realization, this swapnam will not go. We will be in this dream state only. We are in a dream state at the moment. From Shastram point of view, we are living in a dream, thinking that I'm doing well in life, right? All this understanding has come from that. So, having said all that, birth and death, material existence, all the suffering from that, this can only go when we realize our actual identity. So, avidya, again, avidya, that ignorance, right? In order to get that back, our real identification, Santaryami, this effort is required. That is what he is saying. Therefore, wasting your life in gratifying senses and fulfilling all your material desires is not the answer, Krishna says in the next verse. What you have to do is, this is your only business, Krishna says, in life. This is for which he had sent us here. And that's the goal, realizing the self. Not gratifying senses or maintaining the body or looking. And everyone, according to their capacity, has to keep this as the goal and live their life and do what is possible. That's all you can do in spiritual life. Goal has to be very clear inside us. And that's why Krishna always talks about the goal. And if this goal is not there, what will happen? That also Krishna said. Bahushaka anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. That's the answer for that. Bahushaka anandascha. You will be thinking about various things in life, various projects, various ideas. Bahushaka anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. His buddhi is not vyavasayalpiya buddhi, it is avyavasayinam. He will have his own plans of sense gratification, and most of the people in this world live on that. Is it not? Vagushaka anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. They don't know what they are doing, why they have come here. So, this is the only thing what Krishna is particular about. In Bhagavad Gita also Krishna said the same thing, isn't it? Tasmad uddhava ma bhungshva vishayan asadindriyaihi alma grahana nirbhadam pasya vaigalpigam brahmam. Krishna's point is, Uddhava, therefore don't go after senses and sense enjoyment. That's not the goal of life. And enjoying senses and sense objects, enjoying that is not the right thing to do. Vaigalpigam brahmam alma grahana nirbhadam, because realize this, he said, that this sense gratification and thinking that there is so much to enjoy here, all these things, understanding is coming from the mind. Manakalpidam, Veda Brahmam, right? It's all because of your ignorance of the soul of Antaryami. That's what he has mentioned there, right? Uddhava, he says, the greatest obstacle for self-realization is this sense gratification. Sense gratification and these vasanas increasing. Once you engage in sense gratification, they will increase further, because it's creating vasana inside. Vasana will encourage you further to enjoy, and that enjoy will increase the vasanas again. So that's how vasanas multiply. And that's what he's saying here. Tasmad uddhava ma bhungshva vishayan asadindriyai. What they do is, almagrahana nirbhadam pasya vaigalpigam brahmam. He creates this brahmam inside, he said, that main obstacle for self-realization is vishaya vasana. Vasana inside, right? So, when we were born, we had plenty of vasanas we have brought with us already. Every time when we take birth, all the previous accumulated vasanas comes with us, right? And millions of lifetimes vasanas are stored inside us, right? and that is already packed inside, and it is those vasanas are again further multiplying in every life, whatever already that we have brought inside us, right? So becoming free from vasana is the only way, Krishna says, to become free from the cycle of birth and death. Yeah. So as much as possible, withdraw the senses from sense objects, right? And due to your forgetfulness of the Atma Swarupam, self, due to that, samsaram has come, and that is, so, Alma Grahana Nurbhadam means that we are not conscious of Atma inside, yeah? So, due to that, Alpa Agrahanam, not knowing, Agrahanam means not knowing Alpa. Therefore, you are experiencing the samsara, material existence, right? So, then Krishna is saying there, when you look at this world, you feel something is good, something is bad. Veda Buddhi comes there. And that Veda Pratibhasam is because of this Alma Agrahanam. And when realization of Atma comes, right, one will be able to see these things in the proper way. So, Swarupa Jnanam, again, Krishna's answer is always the same, self-realization. There is no other way than that, yeah? So, when we have missing that knowledge of the self, Alpa Swarupa Ajnanam it is called, not knowing who we are, and when we have this bodily identity, we will feel that this body is real, and the whole thing is real. World is real, body is real, and subtle body is real, right? And we will see this whole creation is real. It's all because of that, right? And you'll also feel that it is all permanent. When through self-realization, yeah? When through self-realization, when you realize that this whole body is not real, and similarly this world is also not real, and you realize that only that Antaryami inside is real, Sachidananda Paramatma, right? At that moment, you will experience what the truth is. So that verse is saying, Tasmad, in one verse Krishna put all thing in there. Tasmad Uddhava Ma Bhunkshva Vishayan Asadindriyaihi Alpa Agrahana Narbhadam Alpa Agrahana Narbhadam Pashya Vaigalpiyam Brahmam Vigalpam causes this. Basically the whole problem is Vikshepam Avaranam of the Antaryami. It has covered that, right? And through that the Jiva is suffering because of that. And out of this, Vikshepam is more difficult than Avaranam. If you fight and win in fighting the Vikshepam, if you succeed in that, Avaranam will give way later. That's how it is. So, whole Dhyana Yogam, Jnana Yogam and all is directed towards this Vikshepam process. Vikshepam is the one which is causing the main problem. You know what that means, isn't it? Avaranam Vikshepam. Avaranam is the covering of avidya. Vikshepam means identification with the body and identification with the world. That's all Vikshepam. That means the mind going in all kinds of directions and getting absorbed in that. That's Vikshepam. So when we lose our spiritual identity, which is Avaranam, that means you are identifying with the body. But while identifying with the body, Vikshepam begins. Avaranam, Vikshepam. Avaranam is the covering. Vikshepam is the delusion that comes from that. Yeah. So when Vikshepam comes and your mind is everywhere, all over the place, that's the most difficult part to fight it about. Dhyana Yogam is meant for that, to come out of that Vikshepam. Vikshepam is a difficult one to fight it out. to get this mind, which is busy in the world, busy in the body, busy everywhere, to pull out from everything and go inwards. That's only possible when vikshepam stops. So out of these two, vikshepam and avaranam, vikshepam is the difficult one. If you win over vikshepam, if you have won the battle more or less, then the avaranam will go very quickly. It won't take much time. Out of these two, if you win over vikshepam, you have won more or less the battle. The avaranam, it's only a question of time it will go. Because the mind has come under control then. Means mind has gone inwards. Then it is only a question of mind going and dissolving in the antaryami. Mind, buddhi, everything. But what is in the world outside, where it is now at the moment, busy with so many millions of ideas and projects and everything, to pull out all from that, the mind, it is difficult. It is not easy. If you see all these meditation courses and classes, you go and sit there. If you come back from the work, you'll be thinking about the work in the meditation class. You'll close your eyes and all, and you'll sit in your Padmasana position, and you purchased expensive yoga mat also to sit. And the yoga teacher will tell you, now you focus on this, focus on that. You'll try to do all that. It won't work. Because this inside, all the chittavritti will come from the work. Or if you have fought with your wife and come, then all the quarrel what has happened will come in your mind. Things like that. Everything, whatever is inside, the mind is like that. Very difficult to control the mind, is it not? As we discussed this morning, one chittavritti after another chittavritti is coming, one after the other. If you are not thinking about the work, you are thinking about home. If you are not thinking about home, you are thinking about something, social life. You are not thinking about that, something else. So one thing after the other, it keeps coming inside continuously. And you also don't know what to do with it. It is coming one after the other. Right? And who is doing this? Antaryami inside. And we are saying there is no soul. How on earth can anybody accept this? How much proof do you require than the presence of the soul inside? How every moment your mind is working, buddhi is working, ahankaram is working, vasanas are coming, and all of them are working one after the other, and still we are saying there is no soul. So that is what it is, yeah? So this Veda buddhi, Krishna is saying here, this Veda buddhi, he says, tasmad uddhavama bhunkshva vishayan asadindriyai atma grahana nurbhadam pashya vaikalpikam brahmam. See, Krishna spoken about vikalpam, not about covering, not about avaranam. He spoke about vikalpam. Vikalpam creates brahmam in us, right? And it is that brahmam that is keeping us going in this life. Like this, the way we are going on day after day after day, not knowing where it's going, and always living in the fear that one day it's all going to come to an end anyway, still busy with life, pasya vaikalpikam, that is called brahma. We know very well that it's going to come to an end very sooner or later, it's just a question of time, but still we are so busy with it, that's brahma. Pasya vaikalpikam brahma, because different vikalpam comes and keeps us busy with that. Yeah. So tasmadu dhavama bhunkshva vishayan asadindriyai, and this has happened only because of vishayan asadindriyai. We allowed our indriyam to go after the vishayam, because they are all asata, and that asata has created this problem. He says this brahmam creates is in the mind. Brahmam is in the mind, isn't it? Manakalpidam it is. Pashya vaikalpiyam brahmam, he says. Agrahana nirbhadam. And this is all happened, he says, because of that avidya inside. So then, what did he say? Krishna says there that when we realize this, yeah, when we realize this, the problem, he says, that when you are identifying with the body, when we are identifying with the body, right, we will feel everything is real. That's a problem. When we are identifying with the body, we will think the world is real, the body is real, everything is real then, right? So, which means that this will all stay like this forever, right? Through self-realization, only this avidya will go, that this is not real, body is not real. In this way, and Krishna says, all this is because of our ignorance of the soul, of Atma, right? And due to that only, that this identification has come, and all this is real, only because of the lack of knowledge of the soul. Antaryami's presence, right? And when you acquire that knowledge of the self, you will realize that this body is not real, world is not real, and it is only temporary that something is going in front of it, right? So that's how it is. And similarly, all what you see, all Namarupam, all of them is nothing but Maya, Maya Parinama, right? And we realize that the only truth is Krishna, Antaryami, nothing else. We'll come to that, yeah? So, then, in the next thing Krishna says, if you have understood all these things, what Krishna has spoken so far, if you have understood, he said, what you should do is not trying to solve all your problems in material life. That's not what you should be doing. He says, because there is so much distress coming in life, and if you keep thinking that I have to solve all these problems before I can come to spiritual life, Krishna says, don't waste time in that way. Because instead of endeavoring in that direction, you should become more fixed up in self-realization. That is the next verse. After seeing the sufferings in this world, which we talked many times in different ways, samsaram, samsaram, we keep saying, adhyatmikam, adhibhautikam, adhidevikam, all kinds of sufferings. It's all there. Krishna is not denying anything. But the fact is, Krishna says, you haven't got much time in life. Krishna is warning that. Instead of trying to solve all your problems of Maya in different ways, and after that you will start your spiritual life, if you think like that, Krishna says you won't make it. Before that, your time is over. You will be gone into the next body. And that warning is the next verse. He's saying here, kshipto, avamanito, asadbi, pralabdho, asuyito, athava, tadida sannibaddhova, vrityava, paridapida, nishtido, mutrido, vai, atnir, bahudevam, prakambida, shrayaskama, krichragada, alpman, alpmana, mudharet. Krishna's a strong message in Bhagavad Gita as well as here. Alpman, alpmana, mudharet. You only can solve your problem. No other person can help in that. This is why I am saying that spiritual life is individual thing. No institution can take you back to spiritual world or self-realization. Nobody can do it. It is your own effort, endeavor. Uddharet alpan alpanam. Alpanam navasadayen. Alpanev alpanu bandhu. Alpanev ribir alpana. The same thing here also. Shreyaskama krishragada. Alpan, alpanam uddharet. One has to do one's own work. Nobody else is going to do it for us. And only that's the only way you are going to escape from this cycle and realize the truth. Krishna didn't send us to change this world. He is running the show and he will run in his own way. He doesn't need your help or my help to change this world. He can do it. Krishna says, I didn't send you to change the world. I have sent you there for self-realization. Alpman, alpanam uddharet. That is Krishna's message always. Other things you can do, whatever we feel, changing the world and making everyone Krishna conscious, that's all not going to happen. One day you will be doing, it's like a dog's tail. One time you are trying to fix one side, the other side the tail is coming back to its old position, like Vivekananda said. Vivekananda also said the same thing, that he wasted a lot of time doing this, he said. preaching to all the people. Nothing works. After some time they'll do the same thing what they were doing before. Nothing is going to happen. So many great personalities came here. This is Maya's world. She will do what she wants. No matter what you do here, at the end it will go its own way. All these years preaches. See what's happening in the world now. So what is improved? It's all some illusion in our head that we can change this world, things will get better, there's a good tomorrow coming. Nothing is coming. Maya is playing his own game in her own way. Ishasihi vashelogo yoshad arumai yatha, Bhagavatam says, Narada Maharshi says there. Yeah? So, dukkha nivaranartham, that means trying to solve problems in this world and think that it will all be come out properly and then I will come to spiritual life. Krishna says, don't wait for that. The time will be up. Before that, the time is over. We will be gone from this world. Yeah. So, if we understand that, it says that the he says, even trying to find some relief from this distress in this world, give up that, he says. Don't try even to get some relief from the distress. Don't try for that, he says. Instead, you should be trying for self-realization and engage in that sadhana for self-realization, right? Krishna says that. And therefore, in answer to that, Krishna says, sometimes in this world, because if you go in that route without endeavoring for improving your happiness in this world, and if you simply go in for self-realization, other people will think of you in a different way. They will say, you are not very good. You don't have good intelligence, right? And they will insult you for doing that. For example, friends, family and all that, if you have taken the spiritual life very seriously, they will consider you as not very intelligent. They will think you are not very clever, right? And they will insult you sometimes and ignore you. And due to envy, sometimes they will give you trouble also, right? But Krishna says, even if they beat you up or lock you up, still you should not feel any revenge towards them. What they do to you, right? Tolerate everything and then engage in sadhana for self-realization. Knowing very well that all the suffering that has come is due to prarabdham. And all that is coming in life is prarabdham. Accept it that way. And without feeling revengeful towards anyone, engage in sadhana. That is that next verse. Shipto, avamanito, asadbi, pralabdho, asuyito, athava, tadidaha, sannibhadhova, vrityava, paridabhida. Then, nishtido, mutrido, vai, ajnyer, bahudevam, pragampidaha, Shreyaskama Krichra Gada Altman Altmana Mudharel. It says that somebody spits at you, pass urine on you, right? And in whichever way they destroy your sadhana, spiritual life, whichever way, right? And they give you all trouble, you should not still get affected by that. You should fight against that in the sense that you should be fixed in your goal rather than fighting with them to suppress them or to fight them. That is not the way in spiritual life, he says. You should engage in sadhana and through your intelligence you should elevate yourself. Viveka buddhi, that a capacity to elevate oneself by one's own effort. That's what is expected from us. Krishna said this to Uddhava here, and at the end also Krishna says the same thing to him while going to Badrinath. This is Krishna's process. Elevate yourself, not to take anything in this world, even though they may give you trouble, because that is to be accepted as prarabdham. If others are giving trouble, it has to be accepted as prarabdham. So, those two verses, And it is very difficult to tolerate others when they give you trouble. Right? And that too, Krishna says, without any revenge, you have to deal with them. For example, you can see here that they will insult you, offend you, make fun of you, they may feel envious, and they may beat you up, and sometimes even they may take you away from your occupation. It may come against us, right? They may spit at you, pass urine on you, and in all different ways, they will give you all the trouble that is possible. And if you are serious about spiritual life, Krishna is saying that you have to still not affected by that. Atmana, Atmana Muddharet, you have to elevate yourself, right? In other words, accepting that all of that thing is prarabdham and be established in the self-realization process. Now, this is Krishna's instruction, right, in the Bhagavadam. Bhagavad Gita also, more or less Krishna has spoken things like this. Yeah. What do? We are not ready for this. That's a fact, isn't it? We are people, if somebody looks at you in a different way, we get upset. That's our state. So, as I said, that the instructions in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is only telling us, this is the benchmark. This is the goal. So if we don't become, spiritually make much progress, we cannot blame anybody because we haven't developed the qualities what is required in spiritual life. This is our situation. We haven't matured ourselves as a good candidate for spiritual life. That's a problem. We ourselves have not matured. So when in spiritual life, it is a mystery actually. You see the kind of things, what has happened to all the great personalities, Mahatmas, what they went through in spiritual life. Yeah, people have abused them so much, given them so much trouble. We don't read, we are thinking spiritual life is just like a project. I got my initiation done, I'm chanting my 16 rounds, I'm applying the four regulative principles, and then I will straight away go into the spiritual world at the end of my life. Somebody's going to open the door there for me. All this kind of foolish understanding we have got. But when you look at all the great personalities and what Krishna is saying here, it's not that. What we have built up an image about spiritual life. We are thinking spiritual life is also easy and easy to go through. But when you look at great personalities, so many personalities, like you can say Paramahamsa's life, Maharshi's life, and many other Prabhupada's life, all if you look at their life, they didn't get to that stage by following four regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds. That's not what made them there. Do you have to understand that spiritual life is a mystery? Antaryami will put you through different situations and able to survive through all that and still able to remain in spiritual path. So everyone's life is different. Every one of us is different. We will have to go through different problems and our problems are also different. Our prarabdham, everyone's prarabdham is different. So able to survive through all that prarabdham and able to remain fixed in what Krishna has spoken, that is spiritual life. And that's all you can do. You may not be able to do everything what Krishna is saying. For example, this situation, we won't be able to bear that, what Krishna is saying to Uddhava. Somebody spit at you, somebody pass urine on you, and you say, I should be able to tolerate that, not feel revengeful about it, retaliate towards that, and still I'm able to tolerate that. Everybody else will say, you are so weak, you are so useless, they will say to you. And you will get hurt. It's not. Ahangaram inside won't allow us to accept it easily. Nishtido mutrado vai bahudeva pragambhida shrayaskama kritchargada almana almana mudharet. Krishna says there is no other way except you have to do what to become free from this. Alpman, Alpanam Uddharet. Yeah. So, saying all these things, not feeling revengeful, forget about these things. Even simple things in life, the retaliation will come from us. Even on simple things. So, here in two verses, Krishna says, the extreme situation. Kshipto, avamanito, asadbi, pralabdham, asuhito, athava, tadidaha, sannibadhova, vrityava, parihavida. Then, nishtido, mutridovai, bahudeva, pranpida, shrayaskama, krishagada, alpana, panamudharet. Right? When he said that, able to tolerate without feeling revengeful, it's a very, very difficult thing, is it not? Right? For example, this has happened in Mahalpa's life. That's what we must notice. Somebody spat at Ramana Maharshi completely, spat at him, spat on his body, right? And later on somebody asked Maharshi, what did you do? He said, I just wiped it, he said. That was his answer. I just wiped it. Because people are like that in this world. Similarly, there are so many instances like that. Ekanath's story, we talked about it. How many times they spat on him every time he went and bathed in the river and came back. So, when Uddhava heard all these things, to tolerate others' insult and offenses and others' problem, what sufferings they create on us, that revenge will naturally come in us. It is normal in everyone, right? Even if he is very qualified, even if he is very well educated in Shastram and all that, still that revenge mood will come. Pratihara buddhi. Is it not? So, like Vivekachudamani talks about Tidiksha. Yeah. Sahanam sarvadukhanam apradigara purvagam. Is that all possible in life? So, at that time, Uddhava is asking this question. Uddhava vacha, yadhaivam anubudhyayam vadano vadadam vara su dusaham idam manya almanya asadadikramam. He says, he folded hands, he says to Krishna like this. He said, can you tell me how to get to this situation? Right? So dusaha, impossible to take it. All these things what you have said. Almani asad adhikramam. Almani asad adhikramam. Right? Vidushamabhi vishwalpman pragdirhi beliyasi hrade to dharma niradan shantamste charanalayan. This is only possible for people who have totally surrendered to you, completely taken your shelter. And because, he says, this sobhavam in a person is very powerful, is it not? You see, even if I read all these things, if I am put to a situation, I will react. That's called sobhavam. Uddhava is saying to Krishna, whatever you have spoken is wonderful and it is not possible for ordinary people to do this. Because sobhavam is there in everybody and that sobhavam is more powerful than anything else. Right? So explain to me, Uddhava says, how is it possible to come to this stage? Yeah? And because sukhade todharma niradhan, he says before that, prakritirhi beliyasi. Prakriti means sobhavam. Sobhavam is beliyasi, very powerful. Sobhavam is the most difficult thing. That means the vasanas inside us. It will react. No matter how much you read, you say that, oh, I have understood the words. When it comes to practice, you will fail. Straight away you will fail, yeah? So, he is saying here that this vasana, what has come from previous life, right, it is very difficult to overcome. How did this vasana come to us like this? Mainly because in different bodies, we were doing this same thing. We will react to others. If somebody attacks you, you will attack back. Animals all do that, is it not? And we have gone through animals' body. So that vasana is also inside us. Animals' vasana. Suppose you attack an animal, animal will attack back. Everybody will attack, retaliate, is it not? Any animal. Whether it starts from a cat or a dog or anybody, you take it from the elephant, right up to elephant. If you attack them, they will attack back. They won't run away from you. Depends on, they'll know who is attacking and accordingly they'll make the decision, right? So this pratigara buddhi is natural in a jiva, right? And similarly, this vasana inside us to escape when you get attacked, when you can't handle it, you will escape from that. That is also natural in every jiva, right? So they are by birth in us, that vasana, both in us, right? Even if you are very learned in the book, Shastram and all that, pratigara buddhi will be still there. If somebody gives you trouble, just because you studied Shastram, it won't go away, right? And if that pratigara buddhi is inside, then you will start pratigara. Pratigara means you will start reacting to it, right? Even if you are very educated, right? And then Krishna, Uddhava is saying, the only one who will be able to survive that is your devotee, proper devotee, right? And if his bhakti is on a very higher degree, higher level in him, then he will be able to win over this pratigara vasana, the vasana for pratigara, provided he is an advanced state of bhakti, right? And only devotees can fight, devotees can develop this, win over this pratigara buddhi, this revenge nature, right? The others, no matter how educated they are, they won't be able to win over that. This is Uddhava's opinion. Uddhava is saying this, right? So, Uddhava is asking, what is the best method to win over this pratigara buddhi? Pratigara buddhi means, you know, this revengeful nature in us. How do I win over that, right? Can you tell me that, what I have to do for that, he said. So, here what you notice is, so far in Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna has spoken about Bhakti Margam, Jnana Margam, Karma Margam. In detail he has spoken till now, right? In middle of that he spoke about Shuddhi, Ashuddhi, Vivekam, Tattva Vivekam, all these things he has spoken. In this way, sadhana processes, most of it he has covered so far. All the sadhana processes, right? From now on, he is going to talk about things, how to get over the obstacles in spiritual life. Till now, Krishna has spoken about the different sadhana processes. From now on, till the end of this Bhagavadam, Ekadasham, Krishna is going to talk about the obstacles what you are going to face in spiritual life, how to overcome that. That is the topic, what is going to be discussed, right? So that means 23 to 27 we have seen before all these, we are going to talk about that. From 23 to 27, it is that process. 23 to 27. How to overcome the obstacles, to tolerate, to develop this, to deal with this situation, right? In the 28th, he will talk about Jnana Margam. And in the 29th, he will talk about Bhakti Margam. And with that, he has concluded Ekadasha Skandam, right? And Uddhava's question was, when somebody gives you trouble, how to deal with it without being revengeful? This is Uddhava's question basically. So, we will discuss that after the break. Chito darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni narvapanam shreyakaitava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pratipada purna amradaswadhanam sarvatna suvanam param vijayde shri krishna sankirtanam Namna Magari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrapida Nimida Smaranina Kala एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममापि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहा जनिनानुरागाः तृणारवीषु नीचेन तरौरवी सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरीं कवितां वा जगदीश कामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरी भवदाल्भक्तिरहैतुकि त्वयि अयि नन्दनुज किङ्करं पतितां मां शमेत्वाम्बुदौ त्वया तव पादपङ्कजस्ति तदृशं विचिन्तयाम् नयनं गलदशोधारया वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिर पुलकर्जितं गदावभूतवन्नामग्रहणे भविष्यति गायिदं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायिदं शून्यायिदं जगत्सर्वं गोविन्दविरहे न मे आश्लिष्य वा पादरदां विनष्टु माम् अदर्शनां मर्महतां करोतु वा यथा तथा वा विदधा विलम्बडो प्राणनाथास्तु नैव नापरा सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द ज्ञानमार्गम् भक्तिमार्गम् कर्ममार्गम् कृष्ण हेस् डिस्कस् दट् टु उद्धव in general everything, and then after that with that the sadhana process all finished till now, and then how to overcome the obstacles, that's the from now on, right? And that means from chapter 23 to 27, and then this is end of Ekadasha Skandam comes like this. Then he summarizes Jnanamargam in one chapter and in another chapter Bhakti Margam, that is the 28th and the 28th and 29th chapter. 28th is the Jnana Margam, 29th is the Bhakti Margam. So practically everything in Ekadasha Skandam, Uddhavapadesham, is this Jnana Margam and Bhakti Margam. One after the other you will see Krishna is saying one thing or the other, right? So ultimately now the first question comes from Uddhava, is when he said about this end of last chapter that you should not even try to rectify the world, which includes when we react to situations, right? When people give us trouble, we will react straight away, which is human nature in us, and we say it's natural. All over the world it is like that, is it not? We immediately react to that. Krishna says, don't do that, because your time is short. You don't have so much time. You are thinking you have to change the world, and it is not your problem. It is because you have to use the higher knowledge to know that it is due to prarabdham, it is coming through them. With that higher understanding, you should not retaliate or react to situations with anybody. Obviously, this is a very higher state of understanding. For beginners like us in spiritual life, all this is impossible. We are in a very lower state. We will react. That's a normal nature. And Uddhava also said the same thing. Uddhava said that it is not easy. He said, Sudusaham imam manyam, almanya asada adhikramam, he said in that last verse, 59th, right? So he wanted to know, but Uddhava also said, that I know that this is only possible if there is bhakti in thy heart. If I have bhakti, I will win. I will be able to do that. But if I don't have bhakti, that's what the problem is. If there is no bhakti, then you will react. If there is enough bhakti in the heart, then that will not happen. So Krishna, Buddha asked this question, how can I do this without giving trouble to someone? And that is called pratikara buddhi. Pratikara buddhi means this revengeful nature, right? How can I get over that pratikara buddhi, right? And that's what Uddhava has asked. So, how to overcome that pratikara buddhi, to get over that? That process is what is spoken in the Bhikshu Gita, in the next chapter, right? And in spiritual life, there's only two problems in our life, two obstacles in spiritual life. Mainly, there are two. One, desire for wealth. Any amount of wealth. Everything is centered around that, is it not? Wealth. Mainly. Everybody is working in this world very hard. For what? For wealth only. And wealth, and then fulfilling the desires. Kama. Artha sakti, kama sakti. You can see, dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham. Out of the two in the middle is this artham and kamam. Artha kamam is our life basically. All other things are centered around that. You require artham, money, to fulfill kamam. For fulfilling the desire. Is it not? Artham and kamam are connected to each other. Whereas dharmam and moksham are connected to each other. Dharmam is the foundation, moksham is the goal. Moksham comes from dharmam. Dharma prajita kaida votra paramam. So you can see out of the four, these four are purushartham. Dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham. Out of these four, arthagamam are together, dharmam and moksham are together. So arthagamam means that acquiring any amount of money is not sufficient. Artham. Similarly, lot of kamam, desires inside. So arthasakti, kamasakti, these are the two major obstacles in spiritual life. If you can win over these two, you have won the battle. Arthasakti and kamasakti, right? So, these two asakti, arthasakti and kamasakti, for a sadhaka, one who is in the spiritual path, will create very powerful obstacles, very difficult to overcome. Very difficult to overcome, right? Arthasakti and both kamasakti, both of them. In this, out of these two, how to win over arthasakti, that is bhikshugita. And how to win kamasakti is ailagita. Two gitas for that. Bhikshugita for arthasakti and ailagita for kamasakti. Right? Through Bhikshu's story, if you develop excessive attachment to wealth, how far you can get degraded due to that. And through his story, that is what is being taught to us. Anyone in spiritual life, he is on his own, alone. He is not able to get any help from anybody. Nobody can help us on these things. This strength has to come from inside us, right? You can see big people, they make a lot of money, like rich people. And they are glorified everywhere. Who is the richest man in the world? Who is the number two? Who is number 10? And this is all the time in the news, isn't it? And people are reading all these things and they think that, look how they have made it. And they are also giving a lot of money in charity to so many different things. And you think they are very perfect in their life, what they are doing. That's not how spiritual life is. Spiritual life is not dependent on those things. Spiritual life is based on this proper understanding coming from that. Artham and kamam, if you have desire any amount of wealth, you are not satisfied. And you are given some charity out of it, that is not going to solve the problems. Spiritual understanding has not come from that. That's good in the sense that a certain amount of surrender to Krishna in that way, it is good. But beyond than that, the proper knowledge has not started working yet. To realize the self, that is not good enough. That's not sufficient. Right? For self-realization, as Krishna mentioned before, that the arteshu avidyamane bi samsidharna nivartade dhyayado vishayanasya svapne anarthagamo yada, that this realization is to come about this world, what this world is all about. And if you are a very wealthy person in this world, and then you have a lot of wealth here, it becomes an obstacle for you, for spiritual realization. Yeah. So, Krishna said that, and this Brahmana, for example, due to in his position, Krishna says, I have given him this body for self-realization. Instead, due to this greed, excessive greed inside, he gave up his brahminical occupation and took up the vicious job. That's what he has done basically. So not. He gave up his brahminical occupation and took up the vicious occupation, right? Because it is business. That's what he was busy with. Brahmana's occupation is what? Studying Shastram, teaching other Shastram, performing sacrifices and making others to do sacrifice, giving charity, accepting charity. Padanam, padanam, yajanam, yajanam, dhanam, parigraham. The six things, right? And with these six things, you will never be able to become rich. You know that. Brahmana's occupation. Now, you read all this in the Shastram, yeah? And you look into the world, and what do you find there? Brahmanas are glorified because they become so successful in their Vaishya career. Brahmanas who have taken the Vaishya career, Vaishya profession, they become very successful in that and they are glorified for that. Shastram won't accept that. Remember that. Shastram won't accept all this nonsense what society is doing. Society feels they are very successful in their life. From Shastram point of view, they have destroyed their life. From Shastram point of view. You have to remember that very clearly. The society will always misguide you like this. They will tell you all sorts of things which has nothing to do with Shastram. In their eyes, if you have become very rich, you made a lot of money and became a CEO of a big corporation all over the world, people have said that, oh, look at what he has done. I mean, you're reading this, I'm also reading the same thing. And you know who I'm talking about, the examples, right? Google and Microsoft and all these people, right? And they are glorified in India for what they have achieved. But if you ask the spiritually advanced people, like Paramacharya and all, they'll condemn them heavily. They'll heavily condemn them. They will tell them that what they have done is not what they were supposed to do. This is what Krishna is saying. If you move away from your dharma as Brahmana and go and enjoy in Vaishya's dharma, paradharmal sunushtidal, paradharmo bhayavaha, he says, if you give up swadharma and do somebody else's dharma, it is frightening. Why is it wrong? That's the question, isn't it? As a Brahmana, if they executed their brahminical dharma, they would have progressed in spiritually towards self-realization. When they have executed Vaishya dharma, all the vasanas that were created in that will dragging them down into the lower species. This is the problem. So you have to have faith in the Shastram and what Shastram tells us. Every time when you read all these things in the news, you shouldn't get completely dragged by the influence of the news media. Media will say they have done very well, because they have become so rich in their life and running big corporations and offices and all that. And the government also says the same thing that they have done and what they can do for your own country and all that. That has no meaning at all from spiritual side, right? Spiritual side importance is Krishna has given you a body, a suitable body for austerities, penances, and these is the things what you should have been doing in that occupational duties. Patanam, padanam, yajana, yajana, dana, parigraham. If you don't study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, and if you invest all your time in running big corporations, and then you say your life is successful, Shastram won't accept that. Shastram won't accept that, right? This is where one has to know Shastram, what Shastram is saying to us, right? If you ignore Shastram, and if you act on your own whims and thinking that you want to be successful in life, then you have to accept the results also accordingly from that. So this is this story of Bhiksha Gita is actually the story of so many of them who have gone in that direction, right? So he had desire for wealth, basically, right? And gave up all his spiritual side of life. and accepted this business as his occupation. And business means greed will come. That's natural. That's the way business world is. You cannot, they all say that you cannot stagnate. You have to keep on increasing the accumulation of wealth. That's how the business is it not? So, and through the story of this Brahmana, that's what is being shown, right? This Arthasakti is Maya. It is Maya, no question about that, right? So Krishna is trying to make us aware that Arthakamam, how dangerous they are and how they can destroy in your spiritual life. So this story, Bhikshu Gita, right? If one do mananam, contemplation on that, right? One will come to realize that the Arthakamam, Artham, how far it can destroy you in life and able to free oneself from that. Yeah? From oneself from that. So that is how Bhikshu Gita begins. Right? Bhikshu Gita begins from that. In the next four chapters, 23, 24, 25, 26, all the four is talking about this one thing. If you are exposed to some trouble in this world from others, how to tolerate that with the mind and able to control the mind. That is what it is. In this chapter, it is through Bhikshu Gita. And in the next chapter, it is through the process of discriminating between Maya and Antaryami, Prakriti and Purusha. The purpose is the same, how to control the mind. In this chapter, through Bhikshu Gita, as an example, in the next chapter, through Prakriti Purusha Vivekam, right? And in the third chapter, through the three modes of nature, how it affects you. And in the fourth chapter, through Pururava story. Yeah, Aila Gita. In all these four chapters, in four different ways, how to control the mind. That's what's being spoken. Yeah. So, the thing is that, as I mentioned before also, that in spiritual life, it is a continuous battle for the rest of the life once you have decided that spiritual life is the goal. Once you have decided that, you are going to live a spiritual life. So, that's what Krishna says first. Fix up your, decide your goal first. If you have decided, then after that we can talk about other things. To keep into boat, one leg in each boat, won't work. Initially it's okay to start with something. But sooner or later you have to come to one boat only. Initially it is okay, but it cannot be forever. That's not going to work. At some point in time, you have to make your decision, which one want to go. So once you have decided it is spiritual life, which is Krishna is expecting us to do, then after that, there is only spiritual life. There is no material life. One has to say goodbye to it. And actually, when Krishna will say this, that you will realize that a lot of your attachment in material life is ignorance only. Basically, the moment you become more spiritually conscious, Krishna says that he will give you that understanding that how foolish we were with our understanding of material life and attachment in material life. That will come gradually, Krishna says that. Yeah. So, Shri Bhadarayani Vacham Sa Eva Masham Siddhamuddhavena Bhagavadam Mukhyena Dasharha Mukhyam Sabhajayan Vrityavacho Mukunda Tamabhavashe Sharvaniya Viryaha. Uddhava asked this question about this, what he asked in the last end of the last chapter. Krishna appreciated that and he started replying that, right? One thing is certain that tolerating others is very difficult when they give you trouble, right? So, through Bhikshu Gita, what Krishna has tried to do was that he said that the problem is in your mind. First thing to know, the whole problem is in our own mind, right? And till we win this mind, it will not happen. Able to tolerate others, right? What he said before, right? Dusudusaham imamanyam alpani asada adikramam. So, how to win over the mind? That is the Bhikshu Gita, right? In this 24th chapter, Prakriti Purusha Vivekam. 25th, how to win over the three modes of nature. And 26th, how to bring it down. Asakti for kamam, attraction for kamam, sense gratification. And finally, Krishna will say, all this is possible only through satsangam. Krishna will conclude that way. Right. So, and that is what he will say at the end of Aila Gita, last chapter, right? In this way, with these four chapters, able to, how to tolerate others' insults, offenses, everything. Sridhara Swami is saying this, right? Here, Uddhava is, you can't get a higher devotee than him, can you? One who has sacrificed his life. He's not like us. He has, from the age of 8, he started with Krishna. They were more or less same age. Krishna went to Mathura at the age of 11 from Vrindavanam, met Uddhava there, and from then on they are together. From 11 to 125, they were together. Imagine, 110 years almost. 110 years he has spent together. And this Uddhava never thought about himself. 24 hours in Krishna's service, doing everything what he wanted, and he will wake up before Krishna wakes up, and he will go to sleep only after Krishna has slept. This was the relationship between Krishna and Uddhava. So, when he asked this question, right, Krishna, who is Dasharha Mukhya, he says there, Bhagavata Mukhyena Dasharha Mukhya. Krishna is Dasharha Mukhya. Krishna is Yadava. And also, he is Yadava. Among the Yadavas, he is important. Krishna is important, right? And he started replying, right? Tama abhabhashe shravaniya virya. Means that Krishna's activities are beyond our understanding. Krishna's activities, right? And its prabhavam, potency, what Krishna has done, nobody can do it. It's not possible. We know that, is it not? What he has done in this world when he was here, in his 125 years, what Krishna did in this while he was here, is nobody can imitate that and nobody can do that either. Right? So, one who is doing such activities, right, when he heard this question from Uddhava, he said, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Barhaspatya Savai Natra, Sadhurvai Durjane Riteihi, Durukter Bhinnam Alpmanam, Yasamadhadumi Shwaraha. Barhaspatya, Brihaspati's disciple Uddhava. Krishna agrees that when you are abused by somebody with abusive language, right, and if your mind is disturbed by that, to control the mind is very difficult. When somebody abuses you or gives criticizing you heavily, and very difficult to tolerate that. Krishna is saying that. It is such mahatmas are very rare who can do that, he says. Practically there is nobody in this world. Durukter bhinnam atmanam ya samadhatum ishvara. And because the words are so powerful, it can hurt you so badly, right? So, practically Krishna says that these wicked people, when they talk wicked things, and when you see the politicians, some of them, how they tolerate it, it is very difficult, isn't it? Through the media, what they have to go through it. Whether it's right or wrong, I'm not getting into the political side of it. But you can see this world, how people react to each other. It is through these criticisms each other, gradually develops into a very personal level, and it ends up in war, fighting. It all happens like that. Yes. So, able to tolerate this criticism and to stay without feeling revenge or to react to it, right? You can practically say that there is nobody like that. Well, no one can do that easily, right? Very rare though. In a particular generation, there may be one or two people like that who can tolerate that thing, you know, criticism from others and able to continue with that, right? So, this situation, Krishna is saying, Durukter bhinna bhalmanam ya samadhadum ishvara. Then, if your mind is agitated by their criticism, such mahalmas are very rare, he says. The reason for that is, na tatha tapyade vidha puman banai sumarmagai yatha tudandi marmastam asadam parusheshava. When people talk about you with such a harsh language, it is worse than somebody shooting arrows at you and they get through your body. The pain what you get from that is not as bad as words that's been spoken about you by others when they use harsh language, right? And then he said that when you get hurt by the weapons, right, it won't hurt us so much because compared to the words, what is spoken, which hurt you more. You can see this happen to Lord Shiva in Dakshayagam. Remember that Lord Shiva says to Sati Devi this, not to go for Dakshayagam at that time, right? And Lord Shiva says to Sati Devi, if you go there, Daksha will say a lot of things about me. If I go there, and if I have to hear that, I will react, Lord Shiva said. So, it could end up in a serious disaster after that, which happened later on. Rather than that, he told her, don't go. Better not to go. That's the best thing to do, right? So, even Lord Shiva accept that, that is how it is. And weapons, if you are fired at you, it only affects the body. It's not as bad as spoken in that way. This can be treated with medicine or painkillers, and you can become free from that. Right? But if somebody has spoken insulting you or criticized you very heavily in that way, it hurts you, and then you may not be able to get sleep even. Right? So that is why he said that Durukter bhinnam atmanam ya samadhatum ishvara. Pain for the body can be relieved from painkillers or some treatment in that way. And then you can go to sleep, you will get sleep. But if somebody has spoken very harshly towards you, it will stay in your mind. You won't even get sleep, right? And that is what he is saying here, right? Then Krishna is saying, the one I'm going to tell you, he said, that if you follow this, Bhikshugita, right, this distress will go from mind, and that revengeful buddhi, pratikara buddhi, revengeful nature, you will develop the power inside to tolerate that. That means the pain that these wicked people have given you through their words and through their behavior, right? You will develop the power through this Bhikshugita. Krishna is saying that through Bhikshugita, right? Anyone can develop it, Krishna says. Anyone can develop it. So, these things are spoken at the end. What that means is, the one who has come to this level, he is in a very higher state in spiritual life already. This is not for the beginner. Do you think that the point? This is not for the beginner in spiritual life. This is for a person who has already decided self-realization as the goal, and who is already making a lot of progress in a particular sadhana process. Jnanam, bhakti or yoga, sadhana, whatever it is. So, one who has taken spiritual life very seriously, it is for them all these things are. This also you shouldn't forget. People like us, if somebody abuses, we will say, we will react accordingly and we will leave and go. It doesn't matter if I go and make advancement in spiritual life or not. Spiritual life is not important at that time. Reacting to the situation is, that. What does that show? It shows that we are not serious about spiritual life also. We are more serious about our material life. But this is not for that person. This is for a person who has come a long way in spiritual life. Because that person is doing sadhana at a very higher level. He has good realization inside. Because to understand everything what Krishna has spoken before, one who has studied Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam up to this point, means he is in a higher state. And in that state, if these problems comes, what one should do? That is why it is spoken in that way. On day one, if you try to follow Bhikshugita, it won't work. You are not sure about what you are saying that, oh, it doesn't matter. He can say what he wants. You will be able to ignore it like that. Yeah. So, he says here that if you understand, he says, how to control the mind in that situation. Kathayanti mahal punyam itihasam mihodhava tamaham varnayishyami nibhodasu samahita. Mahalmas have spoken about that. And aham to varnayishyami susamahita nibhoda. I will tell you, you cannot. Listen to this carefully, Krishna said, right? And kenachid bhikshuna gidam paribhudena bhujane smarada dhrdi yuktena vipakam nija karmanam. A bhikshu, how he tolerated everything in his life, who was hounded by the wicked people, and he accepted all at his karma phalam, his own prarabdham, and he sang a song. And so this happened, he was a very wealthy person, right? But he was very miser. And all his wealth was lost. And then he became detached to everything and taken to a sannyasa ashram. And he sang a song, that bhikshu, in his that state. In order to start that, his previous life is spoken before he became a bhikshu. That is the next verse. So, avandishu dvijakashchil asid adhidama shriyaha vartavruti kadedestu kami lubdho atikopanaha. Avandi, it happened in Avandi, right? And he was, at that time, the method of making wealth was through agriculture, trade, krishi and vanijyam, right? That was his occupation. That's what he did. And he was a very miser person. Lubdha, kami lubdho adhikopanaha. And very angry also. And he was very opulent as well. And he had a lot of desires also. Avanti is called also Malavam. And Avanti's capital is Ujjain now. Ujjain, right? There was a Brahmana there. And due to artham, lobham, greed for money, he gave up his swadharma, adhyapanam, adhyayanam, yajanam, all these things. Yajanam, yajanam, patanam, patanam, danam, parigraham, all these things he gave up. He won't participate in any yajnam or yagam. And due to this artham, attraction for wealth, right? He accepted this Vaishyavati business, right? And through that Vaishya business, right? He acquired a lot of wealth. At the same time, he is Kadariya. He says there, Kadariya means very miser, and not only business, but agriculture, cow protection, vanijyam, all these things he taken up as his profession. All what Vaishyas do normally. He has taken all that, right? And acquired a lot of wealth. So, kadaryam, that word there, what is used there, right?
Kenachid Bhikshuna Gidam Paribhudena Durjane Smaradadhyuktena Vibhaka Nichakarmana Avandishru Dvija Kashil Asid Adhyadama Krishriya Varta Vritti Kadaryastu. That Kadaryam. Kadaryam is talking about that in the Shruti also. Kadaryam means you have got a lot of desires for wealth, greed inside, basically. I want a lot of money in my life. Some people will say openly that. So I want to make a lot of money in my life. When you see that, you can see that kadaryam inside coming out, right? So, lot of desires. But at the same time, very miser also. And miser in the sense that even though he has a lot of wealth, he won't spend the money to enjoy that wealth. He won't enjoy the wealth. He has desires, but he won't enjoy it. But his happiness was his making money. Lot of money. So, one who does not spend money for himself and very miserly living like that, right? They are called kadariya, right? So, similarly, a grahastha is supposed, when he making money particularly, he is supposed to perform some dharma when he is making money like that, right? Panchamahayajnam is for the grahastha. Ishtam, yajnam, agnigaryam, and so Agnihotram is particularly for the grahastha. And he is supposed to perform Agnihotram till he leaves this world. He has given up all that. No interest in all of that. Right? And through Agnihotram, he is supposed to perform homam and please different devadas. That's all there in the Panchamahayajnam spoken. And it is a grahastha dharmam, right? Agnyadhanam, it's called Agnihotri. At least in them days, this was followed. Every day he is supposed to perform Agnihotram. Brahmana's life is like that. He should not work for making money. It's not allowed for him, right? The reason all these things are given to him is that so he doesn't go and make money. That's the idea behind it. Yeah. All sadhana is like that in life, so that you don't go and do all kind of karma in this world to make money, to take us out from that habit. Brahmanical nature is like that. Yeah. So in them days, Agnihotram was an important thing for them. At that time, we are talking about Krishna's time, 5,000 years ago. They all followed this Agnihotram. Now it's all gone. But at that time, Agnihotram was followed, and all the Brahmana families, they were very proud of their tradition because of that. And they had these three Agni at home, Tredagni, Ahavani Agni, Garhavati Agni, Dakshina Agni. These are the three different fires burning at home, right? And these three Agni is for the pleasing the Devadas. This is Brahmana's duty, this is. Ahavani Agni, Garhavati Agni, Dakshina Agni, through Agnis, right? And whenever possible, he is supposed to perform Yajnam. And that is all related to Devakritya, to please the Devadas, different Devadas, right? This all coming under the category of Ishtam. Ishtam and Purtam, there are two things, right? As all this is meant for the benefit of others. So you can see Brahmana's life is selfless, right? He is supposed to live that life, selfless. This Agnihotram is all for the benefit of others. And Krishna is expecting them to do these things. Then Purtam. Purtam means that money that you have made in life, whatever you have got with you, that money, spending it for a limited way for ourselves, oneself, then rest of it for Krishna's sake and for other living entities, all the wealth they have acquired, right? So, like you can see this digging wells, digging tanks, and or running these chawal trees, satram and all that, giving food to others, and giving food to the sannyasis. All these are part of that yajnam, panchamaha yajnam, deva yajnam, pitri yajnam, krishi yajnam, nri yajnam, bhuda yajnam, five panchamaha yajnam, part of a grihastha's life, right? So, so, Agnihotram, Agnikaryam, right? Apart from that, there is Vaishyam he has to do every day. Vaishyam. That is also part of this Panchamahayajnam. Then there is Krishiyajnam. That includes Swadhyayam, studying Shastram. And what is spoken in the, according to the Vedic tradition where he come from. We are talking about a Brahmana now. So whichever Vedic tradition he has come from, he should study that Vedam, Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, a certain number of times. That is also Swadhyaya compared to me, right? There is rules for all these things, Veda Japam. And through Veda Japam and recitation of the Vedam, you are pleasing the Rishis. He is paying back the Rishis, right? Then through homam, you are pleasing the devas. Through tarpanam, you are pleasing the pitru devadas, pitru lokam, right? Through hospitality, you are pleasing the human species. And then, other living entities also, you have to feed them and fulfill their desires also. So this five kinds of yajnam, panchamaha yajnam it is called. It's a duty of a brahmana, especially a householder. So, without doing all that, if you live a life in this world, you are considered to be kadariya. That's why that word is important. Vartavruti kadaryastu. Kadariya means all this. You are not doing any of these things, but miserly about it. Similarly, looking after wife, children, relations, and not giving any help to them either. One miser towards them also is Kadariya. Is Kadariya, right? So, this particular Brahmana, our Bhikshu, right? He won't spend any money. He won't spend it on himself and he won't give it to wife or children either. He will be very miserly towards them. So, and he had a lot of wealth, right? And he wanted to make more money. And he always used to get angry as well. And he won't allow anybody to get closer, because if you get closer, they will ask for money. So he will keep a distance from everyone. You know how very rich people, they do that, isn't it? If you want to see them, they say, you make an appointment with my secretary and then come to see me. So that's one way of, it's not that they are so busy, no. Why they do, that's their way of keeping distance from others. So they don't, you don't go and don't want to make close association. They don't want your association because you don't have the money. They want to associate with people who have got more money than them. That's how their way of looking at things, right? So he is worried that if anybody is coming home, he will keep an eye. Is he coming to ask for money or help in that way? And he made arrangements that he sold people to get rid of them from the gate itself, so they don't come walk inside. Right? So even people who wanted to keep some relationship with him, he made sure that they don't get closer in such a way. He maintained the distance from them. Right? So naturally, who will come? Relations, close relatives who are not as wealthy as he is. They wanted help and he is wealthy. So they will come to him, and he didn't want that. So practically he had no relations, friends, anybody, right? So, and when they came, more or less he abused them and sent them home. He never encouraged that, right? Never spoke anything nice to anybody, because he didn't want any relationship with anyone. The attachment to wealth was so strong, right? And never spoke to any of his family members or guests or friends or relations. Not one kind word spoke to them in life. And because of all these things, and he did not follow this Panchamahayajnam, what he is supposed to do, his opulences also started decreasing, what he has made, right? And because he did not fulfill his own desires to happiness in life, right? And he only happiness what he got in life was when more wealth was coming in life, right? And keeping an eye on that and feeling happy from that. You know how some people are? Bank balance builds up a lot. They are peaceful, very happy about it. In a certain level, they are enjoying that, right? So, constantly monitoring that, the growth of the wealth, and feeling happiness inside, right? And that was his happiness. Then, so that's what he is saying here. Nyadayo adhidayastasya vang matre nabhi narchidaha Shunya avastha, almabi kale, kamai anarchidaha. He won't give any charity, and none of the Panchamahayajnam was performed. Dushilasya, kadaryasya. You see, again they use the word kadarya. Druhyande putra bandhavaha, dara duhidaro brutya, vishanna nacharan priyam. He won't show any mercy, even to his own children, he was very miser, he won't give them anything, right? So naturally, what do you expect from the children then? If you bring up children like that, what loyalty can you expect from them? So, because of that, he won't give it to his wife also anything. Very measured everything he was when he was giving. He'll make sure that he will raise hundreds of questions before giving any money to her and make her life so difficult that she also felt that what's the point being loyal to him. So she was not loyal, nor the children, though he had daughters, they were also not interested, servants, right? None of them had any interest in him, right? And they never worked for him or they never associated with him in a happy state because he made their life so hard. He had enough wealth, but he won't give them any wealth. If you ask him, he will say, I don't want to spoil them. And he won't give them anything. This was the situation, yeah? So, then, an important verse, next one. Tasseiva, yakshavittasya, chudasya ubhayalogada, dharma kama vihinasya, chukradu panjabhagina. Krishna is saying that his wealth is like yakshavittam. You know what that means? Yakshavittam means that Yakshavittam means you have wealth, right? And a ghost is looking after that wealth. A ghost is looking after that wealth, right? You can't take that wealth and use it because the ghost is there. But it is your wealth. But you can't use it. That kind of situation. That's called Yakshavittam. Right? You are protecting it because it's your money, right? But you don't have the chance or you don't have the luck to use it in your life. Lot of people die in this world like that. They make a lot of money and then they go. That is Yakshavittam. Worked hard in life, made a lot of money, is lying in the deposits, properties, this, that, everything, and they're gone from this world. Why did they do it? They also don't know. That's Yakshavittam. Yakshavittam means wealth you have generated, you couldn't use it any time because you are miserly, because of the miserliness inside. And due to situations, the wealth was invested in certain ways or whatever that was, right? So, your situation then is like a ghost which looks after wealth. It's your wealth. You have made it, but you can't use it. That's Yakshavittam. And what are you doing whole life? Looking after that. Protecting it from the Inland Revenue, protecting it from the Home Department, from, what's her name? Rachel Reeves. And protecting it from all these people who are out to get it from you. They are out there to get it from you. And you have to make sure how you can protect that from them. Inland Revenue and the other, you know, various departments who are all there. You can see all the time that's what's going on, isn't it? So, but you are not using it and you have to protect it. That's your job. You have to protect that, but you are not using it. This is Yakshavittam. And that's what Krishna is saying here. Tasyaivam Yakshavittasya. All his wealth was like Yakshavittam, he says. Chudasya ubhaya lokata. As far as he is concerned, he is not happy in this life because he won't spend anything. He can't enjoy anything. And not only that, because of all his activities in this world, his next life is also going to be miserable. Ubhaya lokata, he says. In this world as well as the next world is going to be disaster for him. Right? And he does not have any dharmam and also he doesn't have any kamam. He is not fulfilling any kamam. Desires are there, but in both ways, ihalogam and paralogam, this world and in the next world, he is a failure in either way. So because he is like that, the devadas associated with this panchamaha yajnam, they got upset with him. You see how it is? Panchamahayajnam, they all have their own devadas, you see. Those devadas got upset because this person was like this. So they got angry with him, right? They got angry with him. And because he didn't execute his dharmam, he didn't even fulfill his kamam, and due to all that, his life became very unfortunate, right? If you want to be happy in the next world, paralogam, right? In this life, you have to perform dharmam, ihalogam. If you perform dharmam in ihalokam, in paralokam you will get some benefit afterwards. Therefore, because he didn't do any dharmam in this life, his paralokam is already gone. He is not going to have any happiness there, right? In order to become happy in this world, you should fulfill your desires here in this world, whatever you may have. And he won't spend money on that either. Because he won't spend any money here, his ihalokam was miserable. And because he won't perform any charity or any such thing, paralokam also was going to be a disaster for him. Right? In this way, dharmam kamam neither existed in his life. Therefore, iham paralokam both were disaster for him. Right? And at this time, this Panchayajna Devadas got upset with him. Panchayajna Devada means this Devayajnam, Nriyajnam, Pitriyajnam, all the other five of them, right? Rishiyajnam. He has not done anything of that, his duty. What he is supposed to pay back, he didn't do anything. Right? So there was no Pitriyajnam and Adhidhi Yajnam he never performed. He never had any Adhidhi. No guests came to see him. Right? Then Bhuda Yajnam, he won't do anything for other living entities. And because of all that, all of them got angry with him and all of them cursed him. In this, when this happened, his life situation in life has changed. The wind has started blowing against him. Right? All the wealth what he has acquired in life, he started losing it. In different ways, the wealth has gone. Whatever he has acquired in life has all lost it. Right? And he had the good fortune of acquiring wealth, but his prarabdham was such, only to acquire wealth, that much piety he had. That's all. Nothing more than that. He didn't have the piety or prarabdham to enjoy it. He had the prarabdham to acquire wealth, but he didn't have the prarabdham to enjoy it. That happens in many people's life, if you observe carefully. Right? Build big empires and made a lot of money in this world. And they left this world. So when these five Devadas, Panchayajna Devadas, when they were not happy, right, he even lost that piety for acquiring wealth. That is also gone. And because that piety he had, Punyam, therefore the Panchayajna Devadas didn't get upset with him. Initially. Therefore he was acquiring that, right? But when Panchayajna Devadas got upset with him, even that piety has gone from him, and in that way his wealth started getting deteriorated. You can see all that in the next 2-3 verses. Tadavadhyana visrastam punyaskandasya bhujita arthopya gachan nidhanam bahuayasa parishramaha. And how did that happen? Nyadayo jagraho kinjil, kinjidasya uddhava, daivadam, kaladam kinjil, brahma bandhor nrupartivad. Lot of wealth was stolen from him by his relations only. You know how that happens, is it not? And then thieves have stolen a lot, right? A lot of wealth was caught fire. Before fire engine could arrive, it's gone. Right? And then, maybe he hasn't had insurance. If he had insurance, probably he would have got it, but there was no insurance system then, obviously. Then, due to bad time, Indian Revenue caught him in different ways. Right? That means the king has extracted a lot of wealth. So, in different ways, wealth is gone. All the wealth what he has acquired, right? And what happened at that time, he's saying there, the wealth when he loses, right? By then he is getting old also. Old age has come. His capacity to do things like before has gone. It's become weak altogether. So, relations, wife, and children, all of them started seeing this. Old age hitting the old man. So, they realized that this is the time to take advantage of that. Right? So, they all looted him as much as they could. This is family life. We glorify all this as this is such a wonderful thing going on in this world. But the actual family life is like this. That all relationships in this world ends up like this. They when they realize that he has become weak, he is not able to do things anymore, they looted him. They looted him, right? And then he had enemies because he never helped anybody before, never had any friends, right? And the first enemy of your wealth is the king, government. Your first enemy of your wealth is the government, right? And if you acquire a lot of wealth in this world, who will be after you? Inland Revenue. The investigation will begin about you. All the wealthy people go through the same problem, that they make a lot of money and then they are constantly under surveillance from the Inland Revenue, right? And the government, especially when they are in difficult times, when they need a lot of money, right? They will inquire, how did you make so much money first? And then they will say, has it been acquired in the proper way, or is it all money laundered, or, you know, that way. And probably they all think that all the wealthy people evade tax. They know that. And we have got all these consultants there to give you the advice how to not to pay the tax, to avoid, how to play with the tax, is it not? You know, the tax consultants they are called. It all looks nice in the world. Basically, the whole thing is very cheating process. But the way it is all, the titles are given, turf accountant, tax consultant, this, that, and the other. When you hear all that, things, you think, oh, they're all very honest businesses. They are not. They are all telling you how to evade the tax and how you can manipulate things in such a way that, you know, it is happening to all the wealthy people, do they not? And when they can't do anything, they migrate to another country with all their wealth. They go somewhere else. And that's what they say. As though they give you an impression that they are blessing you, they are being here. They give you that impression, that their association, right? And so they don't pay the taxes, and money is considered to be all, the money that has been acquired in the wrong means, right? I have not paid the taxes properly, and he will even threaten the people or bribe the people in the tax department. And he had that capacity to do all that at one stage in life. Now he has got old. He's not able to do all these things, right? And he had, dogs at home when people come. So income tax people didn't go to him before. They were scared of him because he was wealthy and he had high-level contacts to influence the government. As he became older and he lost his capacity, the tax people started chasing him strongly to extract money from him, right? So they became as much as possible to extract the money. Similarly, relatives started looting him, whatever way they could. And then, obviously, dacoits and all that, they were also looting his wealth in whichever way they could. And wife and children helped them to loot the wealth. Then, added to all these things, natural disasters happened. So his wealth was also affected by that, like fire and things like that. Right? Agriculture was a big occupation. So due to failure of the crops failed, so agriculture also failed. In this way, when he woke up one morning, he realized that all his wealth is losing, right? And he became very depressed, right? And due to that, on a short period of time, he became very poor. This person. That is how life is it not? So, at that time he is saying here that, tasevam dhyayado dirgham nashta rayas tapasvina khidyado bhashpa kandasya nirvedam sumahan abhud. When all the money gone like this, suddenly from a very rich person, he became very average person, then a very poor person, right? He was very depressed and he was crying, and due to that, nirvedam comes, vairagyam comes to him. This is how spiritual life begins. Suffering has to come in life. Otherwise, our spiritual life is on the surface. Everything is on the surface, right? We will do things what we were told by the authorities or whatever. Shastram says so, Guru says so. We'll do all that and you'll say, I've done it. But when you get hit like this, nirvedam comes, vairagyam comes, that's where spiritual life begins. You can see that in the case of Bhikshu, and same thing happened to Pingala also. Is it not? Pingala also did the same thing. Yeah. So, when all the wealth gone, and dharmam kartham kamam, dharmam kamam, people have given up, right? He was alone, and he was very depressed. Added to that, he was very old now. Old age has come, and the body has become very weak. He can't do anything anymore. And he was very depressed because all the wealth has gone. Whole life he has worked to make this money, and all that money has been squandered by all these different people, right? And what happens at the old age when all this happens? What will happen? You start thinking. Balastaval kreda sakta, tarunastaval taruni sakta, vruddhastaval chinda sakta. That's a vruddha. Vruddha means chinda. Always thinking, what's happened? What is going to happen? Right? Chinda. And he was like that, in that state. Vruddhastaval chinda sakta. Yeah. And he will think, why did this all happen to me? Why has this happened? Right? And because all the wealth has gone, and his body and the mind was got affected by this, because all the wealth has gone, right? And it has come to that level that he has become so poor. Poverty has come to him. And that way he started suffering. Couldn't even, you know, meet his bodily needs, right? And he became alone. And also he felt very lonely because nobody cared for him anymore. So, tolerating this suffering from body and the mind, he cried himself and he got depressed very much. Nirvedam, it says. Nirvedam means that vairagyam come to him. And he started thinking about it. Why did this happen to me? And he was talking to himself about it. Why did this happen to me? Right? When all this happened to him, others were happy. See, this what happened to him. Right? Not one person showed any, spoke one word pacifying him or felt any compassion for him. Right? They all said about his past life. They discussed how miser he was and how he has acquired the wealth. Things like that, right? Including wife and children, they spoke about him, right? They were all happy that this has happened to him for what he has done, right? And he felt it very much. He says, they are not showing any compassion for me. They were he was feeling that from wife and children, right? And he started thinking, why do they feel happy now in my situation like this? He started thinking that way. Because he realized that in his good times, he never gave them anything. He never looked after them, right? And so to expect that because he has not done anything good for others, right? He hated all of them in the good times, right? So when difficult times came in his life, right, they were all happy seeing his difficult state, because in good times he never gave anything to help them, anybody, right? So even wife and children, they were all hating him because of his interaction with them in his good times, right? He never gave them any happiness in life, never showed any love for them, never spent any money on them, even though he had the capacity to do so, right? So every one of them, at that time, he didn't want any close relationship with them either. And so, and whenever he gave any money to anybody, he will make sure that it is returned straight away, right? So if you want to expect some happiness from others, then you have to show some happiness to others as well, if you want anything in return from them, right? So, or if you expect some help from others, then you also have to be willing to give some help to others. It is a two-way path. It doesn't happen one way, does it not? Right? So, he started thinking, why did I not show any compassion or love for others, right? And why did this happen? And then he came to the understanding that this has happened only because I was too attached to wealth. That was the reason, isn't it? Material reason for that. Material understanding. Because he was so attached to the wealth, he felt that I didn't do anything good for them in their life. And that is what has created this situation, that greed in me. He realized that, right? So that is why they are hating me now, because of that. And because of my greed, and because I didn't do the things in the right way in life, all my wealth, I have lost it. And I have acquired the hate from everybody. Everyone is hating me now. And if I had I done things in a different way, looked after them, helped them, at least in my these difficult situations, they would have probably come forward to give me some help, right? But that didn't happen. I didn't show any love or help for anyone, right? I hated everybody, and therefore everybody hated me. And I'm in an old age now, there's nobody to help me. He came to this understanding. The reason behind, if you look at the whole thing, the underlying reason behind that was greed. He's saying this. Greed. Right? So, sachahe madaho kashtam, sachahe the maho kashtam, vridhalpa me anutapida, na dharmaya, na kamaya, esyartho yatsa idrisha. So I have put a lot of effort in acquiring wealth, but I didn't use it for dharmam or for kamam. I only tortured my body for this purpose. Prayana artha kadiryana na sukhaya kadachana iha jalpopathapaya mrudasya narakaya cha. Miserly people, their wealth never become useful for any happiness, right? And that wealth only becomes a problem for them in this world suffering, and after death also it will cause problem for them, because they will have to go to hell for that. And even though the wealth was available for dharmam, they didn't use it. Therefore, going to hell was more or less certain, right? And he mentions here that I given a lot of time of my life to acquire wealth, and there was no benefit from that, he said. I sacrificed a lot physically and mentally to make this money, right? But what has happened now? I am not feeling good, I feel bad, he said, but none of my desires were fulfilled. I didn't spend the money for any good purpose either. Practically, he says, my greed hasn't helped anybody. Nobody was benefited, neither me nor anyone else. And that wealth was also useless, he said. So, after saying that, he said, what is my situation? All I have done is I have acquired a lot of wealth, and then I put a lot of effort in protecting that wealth. These two things. I spend my life in these two things. Acquiring wealth and protecting that wealth. And in spite of that, I've lost all the wealth. This is the nature of Lakshmi. You can see this happening all the time in this world. People work very hard, make a lot of money, and try to be as economic as they could. And that wealth also is not staying. It goes somewhere else. It's not meant to stay. Lakshmi is always like that. Lakshmi doesn't stay with anybody. But she goes on her own way. Right? So he started to realize, but unfortunately now what happened? He's old now. At this stage, thinking about it is too late. Nothing can be done. All things, time is over now. All he can do is to face the music, whatever has happened, rest in the life, right? So, and as far as his life after death is concerned, that is also very uncertain, because he hasn't done anything good here. No charity, no kind of wealth was not used for any good purpose. So the greed, you just see how troublesome this greed is, how greed can destroy a person. Remember Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, three things. Dharam nashanam alpana. Kamam, krotham and lobham. Three things, is it not? Dwaram nashanam alpana, tasma deva trayam tyajet, he is saying. These are the three, kamam, krotham and lobham. Three things, isn't it? Trividam naraga seidam, dwaram nashanam alpana. Bhagavad Gita is saying this, at the end, that too. Trividam naraga seidam, dwaram nashanam alpana. Three gateways to hell, Krishna calls it like that. These three things, if it is not handled properly. So he didn't enjoy this life, and his next life is also not looking good, isn't it? So, iham param dukham, that is what has happened. Yasho yashasvinam shuddham, shlakhyaye guninam guna, lobha solpo bidan handi, shvitro rupam ivepsidam. Famous people, their fame, right? Similarly, Mahatmas, their good qualities, right? Even if they may have all those things, but if they are greedy, that will all be gone. It will not be accepted in the society, right? So, lobham, this excessive greed, artha kamam, no matter what it is, whether it is artham or kamam, right? Similarly, people who are famous, their fame and good qualities in a person, right? They will all go if there is greed in him, right? So, greed is such a thing, he says, whether it is wealth or sense gratification. He says here, the example is mentioned there, Esho Esasinam Shuddham Shlakhyaye Guninam Guna Lobha Solpobidan Handi Shitro Rupam Vivepsidam. Shitro Rupam Vivepsidam means, they call it as Shweta Kushtam. It's a kind of leprosy which comes in the body, it becomes white then, isn't it? So, even though you may look very beautiful, well built and look body is looking good, right? But if that white marks comes on the body, you become very ugly then, right? So, that's what he's saying here, that then he's saying that artasya sadhane siddhe ulkarshe rachane veye nashobha bhogam ayasa trasas chinda brahmo nirnam. He says artham, wealth, it's like this. Acquiring wealth, earning wealth, right? Increasing it, protecting it, in all that, there is a lot of suffering, adiklesham, right? And even if you get it, spending it and enjoying it, at that time there is fear, oh, it's going to be spent, it's going to get finished, right? And thoughts about that. And when it gets destroyed, you get confused what to do about it. When something is taken away from you without your permission, in some form, government or friends or family, whichever way, when you lose money in a big way, it does cause distress, right? It will never become a cause of happiness, he says, right? So, so that's what he's saying, both the suffering physically and mentally, right? In order to acquire wealth, you have to work hard. And from nothing to become a very rich person, right? There are many people in this world who have become wealthy like that. It's not. They started with nothing, but they became very wealthy at the end, right? If you ask them, they will tell you the suffering they went through physically and mentally to acquire all the wealth what they have. You think they are all peaceful inside? None of them are peaceful inside. It's a burning volcano inside them about wealth, right? And somehow their prarabdha has allowed them to acquire the wealth. But after acquiring wealth, the suffering they went through to protect it from all other people, that's a big thing, right? So many, many people, they were struggled very hard, you know, not eating properly and in very poverty level states. And sometimes they have to borrow wealth from the bank. Lot of nonsensical things happen with the wealthy people. It's not that everything is so straightforward. They're all very, you know, following dharmam or anything. To make that money, bribing people in higher levels, influencing people, all that involves a lot of things which are not in line with the dharmam, right? So, because of all that, to create wealth and to protect wealth, he has made the wealth like that. Everything is not earned very straightforward, because straightforward way, you won't be able to make money in this world. It's a known thing. You can work in a place, get some money from that, and maintain your body. That much you can do. But beyond that, this excessive wealth, what you find in many of these wealthy people, they had to think about it, how to do it. And lot of barriers of dharma is broken in that process. It's not possible to do that, right? And many, many wealthy families, they have made money like this, and they have tried very hard, and one or two generations it gone. Whole thing goes away also. This also you see in this world, is it not? So, all this effort he is saying here, a lot of effort is required, and there is no happiness in that, while doing that, making this money, right? And after acquiring all that, there was no time to enjoy the wealth, because they were busy with making the money, right? And to protect the money is more difficult, what you have made. It's more difficult than making money, to protect the wealth what you have got, right? And if you are able to do anything good with that money, it is good. But when somebody is very miser, then it's more difficult, right? So instead of investing in dharmam or kamam, there are people who have used that purpose also. Everybody is not the same, right? But one thing is certain, when you acquire wealth in large scale, you will have to do a lot of things which is against dharma. Adharmam you will have to do. You can't do anything without that, right? And not only that, their success is that they had people to help them and to manage the funds, what they have created, the wealth, right? And they may escape from all the adharmam what they have done to some extent if the acquired wealth, if they are used in a dharmic way. They may be able to escape from the sinful reactions of the dharmam or wealth they have created in that way. Yeah. This is the nature of wealth. That's the first thing we have to understand. The nature of wealth is like that, right? To maintain wealth is a very difficult thing. So, dharma means not only spending for Krishna conscious way, in other words. That is dharma. But in the modern world, this dharma's nature changes in many ways. For example, in the historically, it was agricultural economy. Now it's all industrial economy. It's not. Everything has changed its nature. So, if the wealth is managed properly and charities are given, probably he may be able to free himself from the wealth that he has acquired in the wrong ways, right? In the wrong way. So, that means when you are acquiring wealth in large scale, dharma should always be behind that. Because you know that you are doing adharma, you have to do some dharma to compensate for that. And that is important in the sense that if you do dharma, then that wealth will stay some time with you, even though it may not permanently stay. If you are only acquiring through adharma and not doing any dharma, it won't stay very long, right? So, that way, the artham doesn't become anartham. You know anartham means, isn't it? Artham doesn't become anartham, right? So, only if you maintain dharma, the wealth will stay. Otherwise, it won't even stay, right? At least during the time when you are here. Otherwise, even before you leave, the wealth will leave. If you don't follow the dharma. So, there is a relationship between dharma and adharma like that. That's all. So, and in order to acquire wealth, and to maintain it and to protect it, effort is required. Very hard. You have to work, right? Similarly, when you spend it also, what he said here, isn't it? All these things is important. We'll continue tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada.